Hello and welcome to the Gems of Wrestling podcast. I'm Flemerald, joined by...
Needed.
No, you do that.
Yeah, I feel a bit
You say the names.
We say hello.
Okay, all right.
We like consistency.
I'm not starting again, though.
You are, yeah.
I'm not. I'm just going to go, no gimmicks needed.
Are you watching Vince McMahon? Are you watching Vince McMahon?
It's a podcast.
Are you listening, Vince McMahon? Are you listening, Vince McMahon?
Thank you. Rusty Puddin.
Hi.
There you go. Any chance? Any
no.
Obscure references that may become apparent during the podcast?
I was going to say, I feel like mine's justified. This is the No Gimmicks Needed Justification podcast.
You do the rest of the intro there.
Oh, I know. He's absolutely took over your intro here.
He has. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Like NXT took over Cardiff.
Yeah.
And absolutely...
Okay, well, we're going to talk about NXT TakeOver Cardiff. We're also going to talk about AEW not bossing it.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
I think we'll get quite deep into that.
Spoilers,
well.
I think we're all out on AEW. Ooh,
I like that. And there was another one, but no one watched it, so Royal Quest.
Yeah, yeah, it's a non-review of Royal Quest.
There's too much wrestling in one weekend. Like, we can't all watch that.
No, we've got things
even
to do.
Even though we kind of said we'd split between
Forget that.
Yeah.
You're going to get two reviews and a little bit of chit-chat about...
Whatever.
King of the Rings.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world of wrestling.
Yes.
Crazy world of wrestling.
Yeah, and... I don't want you to do it again. You know I want you to do it again.
Yeah, you always want me to do it.
Come on.
Live it in Bombay.
Let's get a minute in before we swear then, okay?
Right. Is that the rules?
That's the rules. Let's make a deal there. That's
I'm fine with that.
We can do that.
I can do that.
Let's start by talking about AEW.
Yeah. I was going to say we'll save that for the main event, but... Wasn't really the main event, was it?
No. Not when it occurred on the same night as NXT TakeOver Cardiff.
Yeah.
And also some New Japan thing.
Royal Quest.
Did anyone watch that?
No.
Apparently there is a game called Royal Quest.
Is there?
Yeah, there is. I found it.
On mobile or
no,
an actual game?
It was on PC, I believe. An old Windows RPG game, I believe.
Cool.
I mean, yeah. It sounds like an RPG game, doesn't it?
No, it does.
Like something I'd play, to be honest.
Yeah.
Dig it out, find it.
I'm going to have a look for it.
But, let's talk about AEW.
What's going on? let's cut to the chase, right? What is going on with AEW?
It's a mess.
It's already. Is it 2000 WCW already?
That's what I was about to say. They've reached that level straight away.
Not even been on TV yet, and they're already at that level of what is going on.
I need a little bit of...
refresher.
Well, explanation on this one.
Have you not watched...
I've not got around to seeing it yet.
Okay, well, All Out was the pay-per-view.
Well, yes, I knew that.
We're a little bit behind, obviously. We're recording, let's be honest.
4 weeks after.
Monday the 9th. This was a week last Saturday when it occurred. So
it was a while since I watched this.
A good time to digest it as well, I think.
Nom. Shit it back out again.
Women's Battle Royal. Casino Battle Royale for... Again, just like the men's, a shot at the women's belt. Now, I've got no problem with that, but then the other half of that women's title match
was
will
a
be...
single match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that add up? Does anyone get that? Does it make
sense?
Well,
maybe those two are the top two, and then they want all the underdogs to fight out.
How do you decide who the top two is when there's only been three pay-per-views?
Exactly. Especially...
Well, I'm trying to justify it. I'm not saying it's the correct choice.
No, it's fine. You play devil's advocate, but they are on about how wins and losses do matter in AEW. You know, title matches are going to be for a reason, not just thrown together. This is literally what they were saying. The Young Bucks were saying, basically in WWE, title matches are just thrown together at the last minute. We're not going to do that. Everything's going to build for a reason.
Like Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins.
Well, yeah, like that. But that's built a little bit.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Tiny builds.
I'm into that.
More than this. Like, all right, we have a battle royal. The winner of that's going to face the winner of a singles match and they're going to fight it out for the belt. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, but it doesn't equate. For the men's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't equate to me anyway. Do you feel any differently?
It doesn't make the most sense. It would make more sense to do some sort of like King of the Ring style knockout tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they can't do that for every belt, though. That's the issue. Mm. Then it'd be a bit stale and, like, ugh, another tournament.
Yeah.
Or, well, mix it up then. So do one with a... Do the men's as a King of the Ring-style tournament with your top 16 dudes or whatever. Yeah. For the women's one, make it just a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
There you go. And for the tag one, you could have a...
A buy into the next round.
See, what they could have done
like
is
everybody
have like a tournament, you know, 16 people in it, or 32 or whatever. The winner of that gets the title shot, and then the others, they all enter a battle royale to see who gets the second place spot.
Yeah.
So all the remainers who all got kicked out, they have a battle royale for
yeah.
Because then obviously, there's a bit of credibility there in the two people who go for the belt as opposed to... Oh, random battle royale that I don't care about.
Exactly. I mean, even that, why not with the battle royale just have the final two? So instead of having an outright winner, just get down
when
to the final two.
When it gets to the final two, then it resets.
There you go. Now you've got a single match right here. The winner will then become, if you want to do it that way, or just have the winner of the battle royale become champion.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, Nyla Rose won this women's battle royale. It was a mess, in my opinion, overall.
From what I can remember.
Eliminate 10 people or something like that?
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. Nyla Rose, they're going with her as this monster heel.
Yeah.
Fine.
This mannish woman kind of thing.
She's fulfilling this dominating prophecy. They've been trying to build her up as being a dominating heel, and now she's finally doing it in this battle royale, but...
Okay, I make jokes about being a man, right? I'm going to say something that I saw online that was really funny. Okay. People complaining about the fact that she's a man and she's winning these women's matches. It's scripted. it's not unfair. Yeah. It's not like she's going in and... You know, if it was UFC, fair enough, but it's scripted. So she could lose.
Let's just remember that James Ellsworth won the first Women's Money in the Bank and China has been Intercontinental Champion. So
yeah, it goes both ways, isn't it? Yeah, no, there's no problem with that. Is
she went both ways?
I've seen it. I've seen the videos.
For fuck's sake!
Sorry, you set me up.
I did. Yeah, I didn't know I did, but Nyla Rose. Yeah, if people are going to argue about her being in the women's division. Then fuck them people. To be honest,
well done for her.
I mean, she's like legitimately a woman now, isn't she? Right?
Yeah.
She's like a dingle, like dangling.
A
dingle.
A dingle dangling.
Yeah.
No, and if she does, I think she just straps it to the side anyway. So, see, we can joke about it because we know we're not taking the piss. Are we?
She was a man. She's now a woman.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Well done to AEW for being inclusive.
Yes.
I think that's what we're taking away from this.
Okay.
There we go.
Jazz was in the Women's Battle Royal.
Yeah, why?
But, and she was bald.
Yeah, why?
I no explanation. I think this is a good point of AEW is, don't they explain anything? Like, she's there, she's bald. Oh, okay.
Like, when
where's the stories?
When legends, like, return at WWE, they don't need a story, but that's because...
They've already got their story.
They're legendary. You know, when Iron Sheik wins a fucking crazy battle royal at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But when Jazz is...
the gimmick battle royal.
Yeah. It was great, you know. But when Jazz is, like, known for WWE and, you know, being that kind of Hall of Famer, and now she's just in AEW, I'm like, am I meant to care about this?
See, she just turned up, like, no story. Is she part of AEW now? Was it a one-off?
Well, Glacier was in it for some reason as well last
time. Oh, yeah, Glacier, yeah. He's disappeared again. Oh. God's sake. Ronnie Piper's daughter was in it.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Great.
Just putting her in for the sake of it, like, because she's Ronnie Piper's daughter. From what I've heard, she's not well trained as of yet. Maybe she will become better trained and be a decent wrestler.
Oh, she did the eye poke thing, didn't
she? Yeah.
It was silly.
It was. I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is she got thrown through the ropes.
Oh, and
then left.
Yeah. Oh. And actually go over the top rope.
No.
I didn't even notice that.
I've picked up bits over the last week, but like I say, I've not actually watched the full paper.
Well, there you go. So just another silly thing that not tying up all the loose ends, which really bothers me. ODB and Awesome Kong were also in it, which...
What happened to Awesome Kong?
She got eliminated.
I don't know, I just don't seem to remember her not being chucked over. She was just gone.
Who was the wild card? Was it Britt... No,
wasn't
Britt Baker. It was the other one.
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
Betsy Blab, whatever her name was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was the Wildcat anyway. And while she was coming out, that's when Awesome Kong got eliminated.
Oh.
So it's like, come on.
I mean, Awesome Kong is their like star name.
Yes.
You know, because she's everyone knows who Awesome Kong is.
Yeah.
Although I want Britt Baker.
I like Britt Baker.
She's probably
yeah.
my favourite female in AEW at the moment.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. I like her as well.
I like Britt Baker, yeah. But yeah. like I say, Awesome Kong's the most recognisable woman globally. Like, she was in TNA.
You'd think that her elimination would be quite a big deal.
Yeah. But no, they just did it while someone else was literally as it like counted down and she came out. So all the attention was that way. You look back and, oh, Awesome Kong's gone.
This whole card thing where they're in a
suit.
It's a mess.
It is, yeah.
Because like at one point it was like, oh, the diamonds or whatever coming out. Mm-hmm. Took about 40 seconds before anyone even came out. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a joke.
It is. It's like, messed
up. I know they don't want to just do a Royal Rumble because, you know, they can't copy WWE. Mm. Just do something else then.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
have a normal battle royale.
Well, that's it, because they've been around for a long time before WWE. Like, it's a staple of, like, wrestling. Like, the territories, royals, they used to do it, yeah.
Well, it used to be the way to get two matches out of people.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
Back in the days, like, the way to work a card is they'd have, like, maybe eight people. So they'd have, like, a singles, a tag, another singles, and another tag or whatever. And then at the end, have a battle royale for £10,000 or whatever it was.
Exactly.
As a blow off.
That's it. It takes 20 minutes of the time, you know, and you're using exactly the same people that everyone's already seen, just in a different scenario.
Yeah.
Just do a battle royal.
Yeah, we've seen two of these casino battle royals now, and I'm not a fan.
No.
I just don't. I think it's mostly because they haven't been, like, explained well enough. Like, what about if at the beginning they put up, like, an overview of all the suits with all the wrestlers, like, with a picture of them all.
I'd be happy with that.
And then you know when that person comes out, that suit comes out, you know who's coming.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think, like most sport things, you know, like, where they see the thing where they, like, turn around and they're like, You could have Diamond come up and then and, like, five people come up and do the little pose and then the next one and so on and so forth.
Why the fuck was Justin Roberts announcing every person who came out as well every time there was a suit called out? They don't do that in a Royal Rumble.
No.
They don't go, oh, it's Val Venus, and then, oh, it's Big Fizz. It's like, no one gives a shit.
Well, that's why it would work more if they actually give it a bit of explanation. It could work, it's just not well implemented.
And none of them run down to the ring.
No.
Saunter down.
Yeah. Royal Rumble, they're fucking in there.
Exactly.
They want to be in there eliminating.
Yeah, because they want their 10 seconds of glory and where they go and annihilate everyone. Mm-hmm. Unless you're that person that gets chucked straight out.
And the only people who walk to the Royal Rumble are the heels.
Yeah.
Like, I'm swag it out.
I'm in no rush. Yeah.
Let them fight, you know.
It's silly.
Save my energy.
No, completely agree. Yeah, pass on that then. Let's move on. Private Pie took on Angelico.
Yeah.
And Jack Evans, what are they called?
I don't know.
No, that's just it.
But Angelico, he did this really obnoxious thing before the match started. Did you see this?
I can't remember.
When he was dancing, but he was just dancing with his shoulders, and he was like looking up at the ceiling and just dancing with his shoulders.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a prick.
But that's good though.
But it's good,
yeah.
I looked at, well, just looking at his, after that, I just looked at his face and I was like, I hate your face. I really hate your face. But then,
he's done his job very well then.
Yeah, but they weren't heels until the end of the match.
No, yeah.
Because Private Party won the match, didn't they? And then they went to hug and say, oh, we all respect each other, but then Angelico and Jack Evans attacked Private Party to establish themselves as heels, so.
Yeah.
Is that the best friends gimmick then? The hug afterwards and be like, oh, we're friends.
Friends.
Best friends forever.
That's their gimmick, but that's it. It happened here on the buy-in, but yeah, they attacked Private Party and they established themselves as heels. Fine. Because Angelico has got a face I would love to punch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Any thoughts on?
Can you think Evans could be a sneedly little heel?
I don't know. He needs to be
the kind of person that sneaks underneath the apron and.
Well, like an Enzo to me, like get in there, run your mouth, and then get out.
See, I liked Enzo as well.
Yeah.
Back in like the original days of him in Big Cass, there was a perfect tag team because, like you said, Enzo would come out, slag everyone off.
Yeah.
Cass would do all the fucking work.
Exactly.
Perfect. They both fucked it up for themselves. Whatever.
Yeah, separately as well.
Yeah.
When they first went to the main roster, they was hot.
Oh, they were hot as well.
They were absolutely over, like Rover, weren't they? Just couldn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. And then they did everything wrong.
They were both gone.
Now, one more point I just wanted to make about the finish of the match. They did, Private Party did the gin and juice, they call it. Which is,
oh, this like slingshot, like the monkey flip into a RKO.
That's it, exactly that. And then when the pinfall came, Angelico, like, rolled his shoulder. It was really weird because he wasn't showing signs of kicking out. It wasn't like he was trying to kick out. It was like, oh, I'm unconscious, but my body is naturally rolling over slowly. So by the time it was a three count, his shoulder was well off the mat. And I just thought, why are you doing that? Like, what's the point?
Unless he was, like, legit KO'd, because then your body can just, like, move on its own.
Yeah, well, it looked like he was being, like he's on a pulley system, like someone was trying to roll him over. Like,
I decided, though.
Yeah.
That's what Jack Evans.
Yeah.
That's what he's done. He's actually tied a little bit of rope to his arm, like, on the outside of the ring.
That's a good gimmick.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, imagine like a strap match. Like, yeah.
I've decided, though, the RKO, or the cutter, or even though they didn't call it a cutter once.
No.
Because I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's the name of the move. What do they call it? Something stupid? I hate it.
I don't even know.
I hate it. But that's become the new superkick, apparently, in AEW.
Everyone
was fucking doing a cutter.
I thought Canadian Destroyers were the new superkicks of wrestling in general.
Yeah. A few of them as well. But, yeah, this is where the producers, the agents, need to be saying, like, right, they're going to use that move in that match, so you don't use it in this match.
Just don't everyone do a fucking RKO.
Yeah, like, don't need to see them all.
Also, from all these cutters I've ever seen from AEW, TNA, anything, Randy Orton is still the best.
Yeah,
no matter what.
Yeah,
the RKO is the
best.
The best cutter ever. Like a DDP's was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Randy Orton's is like fucking next level shit.
Well, DDP's was kind of like a grab and drop.
Yeah, his is like a weird, like a stunner sort of style shit. Yeah.
Whereas Randy Orton's, he leaps into it, doesn't he?
Yeah, this is the best. So AEW, fuck off.
Yeah, stop doing him.
We can swear now.
We got an MJF promo on the buy-in, which I think is probably the best thing they did on the buy-in because he's MJF.
MJF is
possibly the best person on the mic in wrestling.
He's the Miz of the AEW.
He is. If anyone can talk the new audience into buying the pay-per-view, it's MJF.
Yeah.
How do you feel about MJF's little kind of angle? He's Cody Rhodes' best friend. Cody Rhodes is a baby face, or he was on this night anyway.
I know where it's going.
Yeah.
We all know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
MJF is going to beat him up one day.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a match.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but...
But don't it make Cody look stupid that he's trusted MJF
even
though...
I think it makes MJF look stupid as well. Because he's some, like, dickhead heel.
Right,
but
guys.
Then, he's like, oh, but I'll look after my best friend. It makes them both look like idiots.
It does, yeah.
Let's just remember how many times Sting was duped.
Yeah.
And that's just wrestling in a nutshell.
Mm, yeah. I guess so. I just...
Heels will always betray their... face friends eventually.
But MJF, like, he's not done anything to show Cody that he would, that he's trustworthy. Like, he hasn't done anything to defend him. So, why is Cody trusting him when he's this shit heel? Not a shit heel, he's a great heel, but a, you know.
Shit eating grin heel.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's silly.
It is. Did you notice at the end of the buy in as well that there was a really awkward. How long? About 5 minutes.
It was forever.
Just the commentators talking.
On the video, I was watching it. I was like, and I saw there was like 5 or 6 minutes left. I'm like, what's going to go on in five? That's a chunk of like that's a promo. That can't even be a short match.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
No. It was just them talking.
About three short matches. In WWE.
Yeah. Exactly. It could have been anything.
The Viking Raiders could have destroyed three. Lots of jobs in that
obviously
time.
Obviously, something ran short.
Yeah.
I think the Battle Royale probably ran shorter than they expected it to.
Yeah.
Because obviously, it's a fucking women's Battle Royale. Botches happen all the time. People get chucked out when they're not meant to get chucked out.
Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay, should we get to the main show, the actual all-out pay-per-view?
I imagine we should, because we've got a lot to cover.
Okay,
if we must, I guess.
SCU versus the Jurassic Express.
All right. Okay. I'm just gonna say right now, I fucking love Luchasaurus. He's the best.
Thank you.
He is the best in AEW.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love him. He's so. He looks amazing. Mm-hmm. He's great in the ring.
Yep.
Sick.
Yep.
Jungle Boy, even though, what was J-Hack calling him?
Jungle Kid, was it something like that?
No, something Perry, was it? He was calling him his...
Yeah. Oh, his proper name.
What is it? Jack Perry,
it? Was Jungle...
Jungle Jack.
Jungle Jack. Jungle Jack. I like that name, actually, though.
Yeah, it's quite good.
I like Jungle Boy. Hate that little dude. What was that?
100% agree.
He was like a little boy in the ring.
It was, wasn't
Marco
it?
Marco Stunt,
yeah.
He was so little.
Why? He was so tiny. He just didn't fit in with anything. I mean, Jungle Boy's quite small in comparison to Luchasaurus.
But Luchasaurus is an absolute monster.
I still think Jungle Boy could probably beat me up.
Yeah.
Marco Stunt, I'd bat him. I'd take him out.
You would.
as just a tag team, I would love to see Jungle Boy riding on Luchasaurus' shoulders down to the ring.
They do.
Yeah.
They did it at a pay-per-view, I think.
They did, yeah.
I just remember not seeing it. Oh, yeah. That's perfect.
But they've been definitely like friends, they said in the thing, been friends for like 10 years. Like,
really?
They train together and stuff.
Yeah.
So this whole like, you know, Boy and His Dinosaur, that's been around for fucking ages.
Yeah.
It's not just like a brand new thing.
I just love that gimmick.
Me too. And this is where AEW are doing well, like bringing up gimmicks like that, where you say it's been around for a long time, but no one's really seen it. It's just been
on the indies, yeah.
Exactly. Local people might have seen it, but now they're bringing it to light. And Luchasaurus has been discovered, hasn't he? Let's be honest. I'd never heard of him before. No. All in. Now, I fucking love him, just like you guys.
I was going to say, I said from the first, was it All In, the first pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I said I liked him from that one.
Yeah, I like the look of him then. But then this match, like, we got to see him actually have some proper in-ring like shit.
Was he spoiled by the fact that they've shoehorned in a third person just for the fighting? Why didn't they just have two members of SCU versus the Jungle? I'd still call them the Jungle Express because I love it. Or
Jurassic Express.
I like a Boy and His Dinosaur.
A Boy and His Dinosaur.
Yeah, I actually like that as a tag team then.
It's a very good tag team.
But then, like, the third member could come in and interfere and...
Yeah.
You could have done that. You didn't need to include Marco Stunt, who's...
He's shit.
He's so little.
He is. Just
like James Ellsworth could beat him up.
Exactly.
That's how bad it is.
Well, just remember, James Ellsworth once beat AJ Styles.
Fair enough.
I feel sorry for SCU in this match. They are selling for Marco Stunt as well. Like, not like he gets in there and they instantly batter him. He got it. They were selling for him with, you know, head scissors and Hurricanranas. No, they shouldn't.
They should basically just pick him up and throw him into the crowd.
I'd be fine. I'd prefer him if that's how he was. Yeah. If he was just there as a fucking punching bag. I'd prefer him much more as a wrestler.
Exactly. And I mean, he did take the fall in the end as SCU beat the Jurassic Express.
Let's talk about Luchasaurus, though, right?
Okay.
He did a flip to the outside of the ring.
Isn't the guy like six?
He's a giant.
Six or something like that.
He ran, took a step off the middle rope, fucking springboarded over, did a senton on all of them. I was mind blown. I was like, oh my God, he's a giant. And he did that. I was like, wow.
I might just watch that match.
You know, he's like, and then he beat all three of them up, all SCU up. Okay, yeah, just battered them all.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's what he's there for. Yeah. He's,
you know, he had all of one of the guy's hands and he was just kicking the other two away. He was sick.
Yeah. He's
Could
a beast.
You see him being AEW champion in the future?
I'd like to say but it's so early on.
Would you like to see him as champion with Jungle Boy being his like mouthpiece?
his little bitch.
The little guy carrying the belt for him.
That would be good, actually. Yeah. Oh no, I would like that. I do think Luchasaurus is destined for the main event. I think he's good enough in ring. He looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first saw it and you hear the name Luchasaurus, it's all a bit like,
sounds
oh,
silly, like
it
a bit
does.
Child friendly, doesn't it?
It does. But now I'm so into it. I really am. Kenny Omega versus Pac.
Both Omega and Pac, after the match on social media, have apologized for the match and said that they want it to be better, but they were cut short for something. So they cut their match short. Omega got battered.
Yeah.
The whole match, Pac was battering him constantly. Constantly battering him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this whole Omega storyline they're trying to build of him being
the streak.
They're trying to put him as like some sort of weird underdog.
Exactly.
When, you know, everyone knows him as the best wrestler in the world. I don't think he is, but you know.
No, but that's what they perceive. That's what AEW hardcore fans view him as, being the ultimate wrestler. Yet
he's lost every match.
I mean,
That's it. Well, he won the six man tag.
He did win that singles match at Fight for the Fall or Fighter Fest, one of them.
Against
that Japanese dude.
Yeah, but he was never going to lose that one.
Yeah, I know, but that's silly then, because they're building his storyline that he's never won, but he has won. He's 2-1 in singles matches.
Exactly.
So that's not even a bad losing record.
No.
he's won, you know, a third of his matches. That's pretty good.
Didn't he lose All In?
Yeah, he lost to Jericho.
Lost to Jericho.
Then
Japanese guy. I can't remember his name.
No.
Then he's lost again here to Pac, who was the last minute standing. I mean, that's a long time tradition in wrestling when somebody fills in at the last minute.
They get the win.
They win because it's a surprise, because people think, oh, he's filling in. Yeah, he's just going to lose anyway. But
I want to cut right to the end. How do you feel about how that match ended?
I liked it.
I really liked it. I've heard complaints about it. I don't know why people are complaining about it, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So Pac got.
Thank you.
Pac got. He got a more boss Pac's finisher. What's it called? It's like a weird abdominal stretch sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like so, we had
like an octopus stretch, maybe.
Kind of
brutalizer.
It's kind of like an octopus stretch. Yeah. He got Omega and that, and Omega just passed out. And that was it. That was it.
Well, he was going for the one winged angel, wasn't he? Omega, and that's when, like you say, he locked it on and didn't let go.
Yeah, and then Omega passed out. Match got called off. Fans were booing. I don't know why. It's like a finish goes. I was pretty into it. The match itself was all right.
Yeah, I liked the match.
Did Pat play the shithead heel?
Yeah. Fucking hell. The bit where Omega went for like that famous thing he does over the top of him.
Yeah.
He did that. Pat fucking landed on his feet. Like, he did like a head flip. Landed on his feet. It was the most craziest shit I've ever seen. I didn't know how he did it. JR said something about Pac. He was like, he referred to him as some of his other names. He said, the man who wrote you forgot.
Oh, yeah.
And then something else. And then he was like, and that's it. Because obviously he's not going to say the King of the Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
Because he can't use that name anymore.
No.
they didn't call the Red Arrow, what do they call the Red Arrow now? Black Arrow, I think.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, can surely WBN copyright the name Red Arrow, if they?
You can't copyright it because it's a thing. It's an actual thing, the Red Arrows.
Yeah, it's silly.
Who knows?
The match was fine.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoy that match.
Maybe I wish it did go on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But other than that, I liked Omega getting absolutely battered, to be honest. It was quite good.
It was good to see him in that because he was stood up at first, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Inside the Brutalizer and then just gradually faded, then he went to his knees and then he was on his head.
It was kind of like, it looked like a crucifix pin by the end of it.
It did, yeah. Yeah, he was in a really awkward position and the referee called it. I'm fine with it, I enjoyed it.
Called it straight away as well, didn't like do the whole like hand thing and like, referee saw him passed out and was like,
That's it, he's gone, get him off, yeah. Brilliant, I loved it.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. Three-way Cracker Barrel, what was it called?
Oh, the Cracker Barrel Brawl. I don't know. The Cracker Brawler Barrel. I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
The Bracker-Cola Brawl.
Yeah, we know which one you mean. The hardcore match, is it?
Yes, the hardcore match with Jimmy Havoc. What's the other
Darby
guy?
Darby Allin
and Joey Morella.
Joey Morella, is that his name?
No. Yeah, it's Joey. No, it's...
Joey Janella.
Joey Janella, what did I say?
Morella.
Morella.
Smooth.
So you're thinking of Santino Morella.
I'm thinking of Santino. I'm at the point, I wish he was Santino. Anyone that knows me knows I can't stand Santino, but
I love Santino.
Oh, better than this guy. Yeah, Jimmy Havoc, within seconds of the match, like the match literally started, he was on the outside, sat on a chair, they taped him to the chair, they put thumbtacks in his mouth and taped his mouth up.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he just sat there for a little while.
It was a bit awkward. Because he could clearly get his arms out.
Yeah.
The tape was like, let's say if you're on a chair, there's nothing stopping me standing up.
Yeah, good point.
And just going, okay, let's get this on my shoulders. They went to tape his mouth.
Yeah.
Tape broke. And at that point, if I was Jimmy Havoc, I would have gone, well, I'm going to spit these out of my mouth straight away.
Yeah.
I know he keeps them in there.
Yeah. I'll wait.
And then they tape his mouth again poorly, where he can clearly just go out of his hand and just like lift his hand up and rip it off.
Exactly, yeah.
It looks silly.
That's it, and
looks
that's the
really
point.
Silly.
You can have a hardcore match that can work, but when it looks silly like that did, you just think, you're not invested in it.
No.
And I was not invested in this match in the slightest.
Did it get any better?
Well, no, Jimmy Havoc was stapling himself just to show how hardcore he was.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, Darby Allin's spot was pretty ridiculous.
The Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, so they had these big Cracker Barrels, the big actual barrels.
Right, okay.
Like, they were clearly not made out of wood.
No, they
were
not.
But whatever, that's fair. Yeah. I think it was Jimmy Havoc laid on steps on the outside.
Yeah.
Darby Allin went to the top of the turnbuckle with the barrel on him. And then put the barrel on his back, and then jumped on his back onto Jimmy Havoc.
Like a senton.
No, but like a fall back. You know, like how Kofi Kingston does that jump off the rope and like lands backwards.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Havoc moved out of the way, so Darby Allin just fucking smacks these steps. Like, this guy, right?
He's going to die in the
ring. It's two matches I've seen him in now. Two matches where he just landed hard as fuck on his back.
Yeah, but I mean, this one, but Jimmy Havoc was so far out the way before Allin even jumped off. Like, it was ridiculous. No, like last second he got out the way.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, Darby Allin, for fuck's sake.
I hate these. They've done these. This is the second one now, isn't it? Where they've had like a gimmick match and it's been promoting something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jim Ross was even talking about, oh, yeah, I could really eat some Cracker Barrel. Like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Like, really bad for
it. Oh, I hope these barrels are full of Cracker Barrel chicken. It's like, oh, man. Oh, it's cringeworthy. I thought this Tony Khan dude had like loads of money. That's why they could do it.
Yeah.
But apparently not.
No, they're getting the sponsors in. But again, it just takes you out of the match. Doesn't it? When you're having a hardcore match and they're more concerned with advertising fucking chicken.
I mean, look when WWE advertised KFC. Mm. They made it silly.
Oh, that was hilarious.
It was it was funny though, because the August is the Colonel and it was really funny. You know, they made it, they didn't hide the fact they was advertising KFC.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was like, oh, we'll make it a hardcore match. You know, people might not know we're advertising it. So yeah.
Blatantly advertising.
So why don't they do Snickers, right? And it's like, say to Jimmy Havoc, you're not you when you're hungry, and he eats the Snickers and then he puts his mask on.
That's how silly.
And then this goes, fucking nuts.
That would work better.
Jimmy Havoc won, didn't he?
Jimmy Havoc won.
He did.
Wow, yeah.
I do want to mention Janela getting a tennis racket out from under the
ring. That was funny. That's a nice little jab to corner.
Yeah.
And then someone, one of the comments is, who'd use a tennis racket? That's a stupid weapon. That's quite funny.
I just, in Jim Cornette's defence, his tennis racket was always loaded. Don't know what with, but it was loaded with something.
That is true. I think with a loaded tennis racket.
Lead lined string. Yeah. Something like that.
Possibly. Oh, I did like the monkey flip that Janela did. You know, when he got monkey flipped and he had a chair.
Oh, and he landed the chair.
And he landed sat on the chair. It was incredible.
Cool.
Yeah. That was
he just said he was sat there like smoking. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Did it.
Yeah. And to be fair, that was the first thing I've ever seen Janela do that I liked.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I'm not big on him.
Genuine disdain for him.
The skateboard covered in tacks.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
It was. How was we supposed to know that without the commentators telling us? Because I couldn't see it. I couldn't see anything.
Well, I could see there was obviously something different with the skateboard. But I didn't know what it was. It's like you said, until the commentators were like, oh, it's got tacks on it.
Yeah, oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, then Darby Allin did like a ollie onto one of them with the tacks. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
I suppose if you're going to use a skateboard, use it properly.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Acid Rainmaker from Havoc which won the match through a barrel.
Yeah, what's the Acid Rainmaker again? Is that like a lariat?
It is, yeah. Because Okada in New Japan, his nickname is the Rainmaker, and his is the Rainmaker clothesline, where he pulls them and he takes their head off with a clothesline.
That's a clothesline from hell.
Yeah, basically. So the Acid Rainmaker is Jimmy Havoc's
version. I don't mind Jimmy Havoc. I can't.
He doesn't look like the kind of guy that should be doing a lariat for a finisher, though.
No, he ain't got big enough arms.
No,
is
you know
he?
What I mean. Like with JBL.
Yeah.
Like he looked like he could legit take your fucking head off with his clothesline.
Yeah.
Like it a lot of the time.
What I'm worried about now is that at every pay per view we're going to have one of these random hardcore matches featuring one of these three.
Yeah.
You know, either all three of these wrestlers, or you know, a combination of these three wrestlers.
Yeah.
Maybe put on a fourth one if there's like a special appearance by someone.
Yeah.
But that's what it's going to be, I think, at every pay-per-view now.
Yeah. They'll get their own belt.
That's like a hardcore belt.
Full of thumbtacks on it, on the inside. Yeah, but so when they wear it, they've got to jab themselves with it.
They'll call it a deathmatch belt one, though.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of wrestling. Mm. It's not wrestling.
It's not, is it?
No. There's no storytelling. It's just hitting each other with weapons and jumping off shit.
Yeah.
It's making people bleed.
Yeah.
Next match was the Best Friends versus the Dark Order for a bye into the next round of tag team.
Said it before, how many buy-ins are there going to be? Yeah. How many buys are people going to get?
Yeah.
At the end, it's just going to be like 20 tag teams, like, we've all got buys.
Yeah.
I want to cash in now.
Yeah, we'll just skip to the next round then. You know, everyone's... But yeah, that's the thing is, how can you win a buy in a tournament? Because...
That makes it a tournament.
Exactly!
Like, that match is now... Yeah, why don't you just make it part of the tournament?
Exactly, it's just a pre-round tournament. Yeah. So what you're getting a buy-in to is just the second round. Yeah, it's a prelim round.
But they're using the buy-in because it is for that casino.
Well, not a buy-in, just a buy. They're just calling it a buy in the tournament.
Yeah, so you can just bag off a match and just go to the next round.
It's like ridiculous.
So everyone just goes, oh yeah, I don't want to do the next round.
Pretty much.
I wonder if you could choose when to do it.
Yeah, I'd save it for the finals.
Yeah. I'm just going to have a bye on that one and win. Thanks.
Yeah. Get to the semis and go, you know what? I'm having a bye through the final. Give me the belt.
That'd be a real heel way to do it.
That's a
good idea.
The more you think about
because then they're risking their bye.
Yeah.
Like they can go, well, I'm going to have to go in all the other tournament. And then go get to the finals. Like, I win.
Yeah, I win. Yeah.
I like that.
Then you've got the controversy of they didn't yeah. didn't actually win the final match, but yeah, they had a bye, so yeah.
I like it.
I like that.
Maybe that's where maybe that's where the story could go. Like everyone else uses it.
I'd like it to go that way. It ain't gonna go.
It'll probably
be
on a pole or something at the end of it. It'll be tag team on a pole match.
Did you
bye on a pole match?
AEW bye on a pole. I love that. it was a decent tag match. It was a little less flippy as the other tag match, the one on the buy-in.
Yeah, it's because obviously we had the big fat dude. He's not going to do many flips.
Conquistador, whatever. What's he called? He's Uno, isn't it? Uno yeah. something.
Yeah, I can't remember his
name. Do we feel like there's a lack of...
Evil Uno.
...big guys in AEW?
Yeah, I think there is.
Well, can I go on a little tangent then about this? Quickly?
Go on tangent.
Rusev... And Lana has not been on WWE in a while, have they?
For a long
time. And have you heard...
I've heard Vince McMahon's fallen out with Vince Russo.
Well, he did that a long time ago.
You know who, man.
Rusev.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, they've said to Rusev and Lana now that they want them to sit the rest of their contract out at home, not wrestling, so they don't leave hot. So they don't leave WWE hot as oat and then go to AEW and you know be massive. Because obviously, John Moxley, you know, he left WWE... pretty hot, didn't he?
He got a big send-off.
So, like, you know, when he went to AEW, it was like, wow, this is crazy. So, obviously, Rusev, you know, runs out his contract for 6 months.
Yeah.
Goes to AEW. They're thinking, oh, well, no one's going to remember him by then.
Yeah. Vince...
seems pretty cruel, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's very cruel, but I'm thinking, Vince, wrestling fans have got very long memories.
Yeah, Rusev Day, that'll be the first thing. As soon as he comes through AEW's curtains, it'll be Rusev Day chant straight off the bat.
It will be, yeah. They will
unless you bring Aiden English as well.
Well, he won't be able to use the name Rusev, will he?
No, because what is his actual name?
Well, he was called Alexander Rusev, wasn't he? So maybe he can, maybe he can use
Alexander.
Alexander, or Zander.
Alex or Zander.
Yeah. His actual name is Miroslav Banyashev.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to catch on.
Miroslav.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, I think it works. Anyway, back to the Dark Order. You're saying about big guys. Evil Uno's just a fat guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he reminds me of Gulga from...
The Oddities. Stu Grayson, I quite like him.
I like the Dark Order. Yeah. I like the whole, like, you know, they've got little minions.
The creepers.
They use them as a... throne to sit on.
I must admit that was cool
when the first did it.
I like the idea of it.
I'm not against him. I just think Evil Uno is just a big
fat
piece of goo, isn't he?
he is just a big fat piece of goo.
Is he like a really bad Bray Wyatt in that sense, and he's got like this large dude that's got his minions
kind of, but he looks like more... He's closer to being a minion than he is to being, like, the leader. To me, Stu Grayson's the leader of the group, and he's just the fattest minion that he uses in his matches.
Yeah.
He's a bit like the leader of Dungeon of Doom kind of thing.
Kevin Sullivan?
Yeah.
Well, at least he was... Well, he was, like, 5 foot tall, wasn't he? But, I don't know. It's just... I like the Dark Order gimmick. I do like it.
Yeah.
I just don't really know where Evil Uno's going, like...
to a fucking heart bypass, that's where he's going. Diabetes, that's where he's going. Straight to diabetes.
Well, they won. They defeated the best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Barrett. I mean, Trent Barrett is fantastic.
I love that name as well.
Which is,
that is a really cool name.
What's the names? It's Trent, but it's with a question mark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trent.
It's Trent.
I like it. Because when it says the names at the bottom, it was Chuck Taylor and Trent.
Question mark.
I'm like, I like that.
Yeah. It's good.
I like the best friends. I think they're my favourite tag team, I think, in AEW.
Ooh.
I like him. Yeah. I like him. More for Trent, but Chuck Taylor's not done anything to offend me. I don't mind him.
you'll let him pass.
He can pass, yeah.
If there's one thing that AEW are doing very well, it's their tag division. They've got a strong tag division.
They have, but
all they're doing at the moment is just put random tag teams against random tag teams.
Exactly.
But, I mean, but like, the base that they've got, when you think of Jurassic Express, SCU, Best Friends, Private Party, Dark Order, Young Bucks, you've got...
Lucha Bros,
yeah.
This is the issue, though. I mean,
that's eight... recognisable tag teams.
Is this a negative or a positive, though? Like, Because I see the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks as they're the tag teams.
Yeah.
And you've got all these little jobber tag teams.
They're just fighting out with each other. Yeah.
I can only see Young Bucks or the Lucha Bros doing it at the moment.
Yeah. Who's going to be the first tag team champions?
It's got to be Young Bucks, surely.
Well, are they
going to... Can you see it not being them?
I don't know, unless they do try and swerve us by. You know what? Everyone knows we're the best tag team, but yeah, we're not going to win it first. We'll win it second. And then we'll lose it, and we'll win it back. And then that's how it's going to be for me. The Young Bucks are just going to constantly...
I feel like they're trying to make it so, like... Because obviously it's Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, and Cody Rhodes. You know, they're the four, like, owners out there. So I think they're trying to make it
but
so, Jericho's like...
Jericho's also got a big...
Yeah, I know, but I think they're trying to make it so, like, it doesn't look like they're getting everything.
Yeah, yeah.
When we all know they're going to get everything.
Exactly. At some point, they're going to have their big moment, a big pay-per-view where... Omega wins the world belt and the Young Bucks win the tag belt on the same night and they'll all have a big celebration.
And Cody would have won, like, the number one contenders.
First of all, one more thing on the tag match, the ending. The Dark Order were carrying Trent Barretta out as some kind of sacrifice. The lights went off. Lights came back on. Orange Cassidy was in the ring with his hands in his pockets.
I forgot about this, right? It was brilliant.
The lethargic man.
He did a suicide dive, didn't he?
He did it.
And with his hands in his pockets.
With his hands in his pockets.
The commentator's like, he ran. Gavin, he ran.
Do you know what? I'm just impressed, though. To do a suicide dive with your hands in your pockets.
I like him.
I'm not against him.
I'm not against him, but I'm against him.
You was all over him when he first came in. He was like, I just love that gimmick of him being dead late.
It's what we said about, though, people, they can't sell for him.
Yeah.
You know, if he does a little light kick and someone sells it, it ruins
it. Oh, it ruins it.
Like, he did a suicide dive. Of course they're going to sell that. That's a proper move.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you ran to him and then was kind of like, got out of the ring and then just kind of fell on him a little bit and they sold it, I'd have been angry.
Exactly. You don't
want to
see that.
Wrestle completely with his hands in his pockets all the time. I never want to see his hands leave his pockets.
I never want to see him win. That's the thing. I want to see him lose every match because he's too lethargic.
He just don't care.
Yeah, he just
and
doesn't
he, and
care.
And he wins against it looks like pure like fluke.
Yeah, yeah, like a count out where he's laid down and someone's tried to jump at him and fell outside.
Yeah,
and hit
turnbuckle
and
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Stood in the middle of the ring and someone like goes to do a move off the top rope, completely misses and they're laid out on the floor and he just like kind of has his hands in his pockets and he just sits down on them and gets the pin.
I would be into that. Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That's probably as far
like
as I could push
it. And then...
How far do you see that gimmick going, though?
It's definitely gone ceiling.
Yeah.
At what point do you go, damn, I'm bored of this now?
I'm bored of a guy with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah.
That's the whole gimmick. But the next match on the card was Rio versus Hikaru Shida.
This is the second half of the women's...
Exactly.
All I can tell you right now, no matter who wins this match, it's going to be a squash.
Yeah.
Because both these women are little tiny girls.
Yeah.
Where Nyla is a big hunk of a woman.
Yeah.
Called her a woman as well, then.
You also
used
the word hunk.
I meant to say hunk. But hunk works. You know.
Hunk does work.
She's a hunky woman.
She's a hunky woman.
She's a handsome woman.
A hunky tonk woman. Well, Riho won. Enough said, I think.
Yeah.
Next.
It's your standard Japanese women's wrestlers.
Exactly.
A lot of screaming, a lot of shouting.
Screaming.
Some hard hits.
A lot of hard hits, kicks and flips and, you know.
Yeah, next.
Cody Rhodes versus Sean Spears. I love the entrance of Sean Spears with the hood over his head and he revealed the... Honor Tully came out and then pulled the hood off to reveal his eyes with red contacts.
I've got a massive negative about this, the other entrances. Cody Rhodes' entrance.
Go on.
It was... bordering on animal cruelty.
The dog thing that has been brought up on
his
it.
His poor dog. Because it was pyro. And fucking fire and shit going off. And the dog was absolutely fucking terrified. Mm-hmm. And I hated it.
Yeah.
It made me instantly just not like AEW at all because of it.
Yeah.
The dog was just like panicking and shaking and like... I mean, as soon as he saw Cody, he went to him.
Yeah.
Because he knew Cody was, you know, it's his owner. He
wanted to move
in. But the dog didn't want to be out there.
No.
I hate it.
They have said it's after fucking awful. That... The louder explosions weren't supposed to go off. while the dog
just don't bring
out
the dog out.
Yeah,
yeah, they shouldn't have brought the dog
doesn't
out.
Doesn't matter if there's any pyre anyway. Dogs don't like loud noises.
Yeah, yeah.
The crowd's going to be enough to scare a dog.
Why did they... What was the dog there for anyway? What was the point?
Moral support.
I hated it.
It was shocking.
That absolutely made me so angry.
And yeah.
It made a lot of people angry, yeah. Not just you.
Yeah. So. No, and I completely agree. It's cruel. It was cruel. Yeah. And as for the entrance itself, why were they dressed in Star Trek t-shirts? What was the...
Oh, my God.
Why? I'm failing to see the link between...
Well, okay, so...
Tucker Jackson's...
So picture this. I'm going to put this picture in your head, right?
Go
so
on.
We've got Brandy Rhodes,
yep.
Dressed as Star Trek.
Yep.
We've got MJF, Star Trek. DDP, Star Trek outfit.
I forgot DDP was in AEW.
And then Cody Rhodes, in just a Star Trek top, but still in a little trunks. So he's like a little boy who just put on his dad's shirt, like, oh, look what I've got! It looks silly.
We should have at least, like... themed it so like Brandy Rhodes could have been like a horror and
don't go
and
trekking
could have been Kirk and
stop trekking
and also, Jeff could have been
stop
there
stop trekking
it was silly and then Cody Rhodes had to pick the one person who was going to stand by him at the ring.
Yeah.
Well, he was never going to pick Brandy because she's a woman. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not saying women are like bad or
no,
but
Selena
like,
Vega does a very good job.
I'm saying, but you know, you don't want the strongest guy to look after you, don't you?
Against
so
Tully Blanchard.
So he's not going to pick DDP, who's an old man.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was always going to pick MJF.
Yeah.
Which, again, also, I think makes MJF look silly.
Yep.
Against fucking
Tully Blanchard.
Yeah, I hate it. The match only felt was only like 10, 15 minutes, I think.
It just sort of plodded on.
It just happened.
Yeah, it was just going on.
Yeah, but let's
happening.
Talk about the exciting moment, Liam.
Go on.
Out of nowhere, Arne Anderson appears.
I thought he's spine buster.
He does, he comes
yeah.
out and does his double A spine buster on
Sean
Spears. Sean Spears sells it like it's the most painful spine buster he's ever had. from a 7-year-old man.
Yeah.
But it probably is still the most painful spine buster he's ever taken.
But then Arne just leaves, and Tully just leaves as well. They just walk out, yeah. Like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, Tully's like, oh my God, Arne Anderson's come out. I'm going to slowly walk behind him to the backstage.
I thought this match was going to be a brawl.
Yeah.
That's what we was hoping, weren't we?
Exactly, a grudge match for...
A big old brawl.
Exactly.
Big boss fight.
WWE made the same mistake with Moxley and Seth Rollins, like, a few months ago. They had this big grudge, and then they had their match, and it was trash.
Yeah.
Because they had a proper match, as opposed to a beat the shit out of each other match.
That's it. Just a knockout... Drag down brawl.
That's what everyone wanted.
Knock down, drag out brawl.
Yeah,
you know, chucking around the arena, you know, fucking hitting all the chairs. I wanted all that.
Yeah.
It's a standard match.
It's a standard match. Mm. When we had the belt misdirection where.
The belt thing was silly.
Yeah.
Belt thing?
So, go on. Sean Spears had. Was it his belt or.
It was his own belt.
His own belt, ready to whip Cody Rhodes. Like, oh, I'm going to whip you. Referee was like, no, you can't do that. You'll get disqualified. Took the belt off him. So, Tully Blanchard passed him his belt. Started whipping Cody Rhodes. Referee didn't give a shit.
Hey, yeah, that's it. To start off with, the referee wasn't watching, so he's like, oh, clever. Then the referee turned round and was just watching him whip the fuck out of Cody.
It's like, great.
Surely that should be straight DQ, yeah.
Should be, but it was not.
Well, shit, he shouldn't be doing that.
Give him a 5 count. Start giving him a count, and then at least the wrestler can then go, oh, actually, shit, yeah, good point. I better stop this. But no, he did not nothing. He just let him carry on. It was ridiculous.
Did the ref also turn a blind eye to the spinebuster?
He was out of the ring for that bit.
Yeah. I think MJF had him distracted or something was going on anyway. Yeah. Cody did the like juke and jive in it, the bionic elbow, tribute to Dusty.
Why did he do the Road Dog? He did the Road Dog punches.
Oh, he did Road Dog, but he's like Dusty Rhodes used to this.
Yeah, but he did it Road Dog style. That's what he did.
The shake, rattle and roll.
Yeah, he was more the shake, rattle and roll than anything else. I know he did it for his dad, but it didn't look like that.
No.
No one knows it is his dad's anymore. It's Road Dog.
It's Road Dog, yes.
Then Disaster kick through a chair and Crossroads and Cody got the, well, not a clean win, but he got a victory over
Sean Spears.
It's also
his points that he got the win.
Yeah.
Sean Spears should have got the win.
Exactly.
Because that was just the end of that grudge.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Moving on.
I think that the way they presented Sean Spears in AEW, like miles better than Ty Dillinger by a million miles.
Yeah.
Like he come in hot. Mm-hmm. He come in, he made a scene.
Nah, he's going to be with Jobber in
no time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame.
He'll be an AEW Jobber.
Because he could be up there. Like, I think if they presented him properly.
Should we move on to the next tag match of the event?
How long is this fucking pay-per-view?
It's pretty long.
It's the Lucha Bros versus the Young Bucks in a tag team ladder match for the AAA Tag Team Championships.
Are they going to give them back to Mexico eventually?
what's the thing the Lucha Bros do with their hands? What do they say? It's like Sierra Muero or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it after every move, apparently.
They do it all the time. And this is it. This is what, as soon as the match started and they did that straight away, I was like, this is exactly how the last match between you started, exactly how the match before between you started.
I think it means no fear.
It does, yeah.
No fear, is it? Yeah. Tiedo, miedo. It's like, mate, I don't care. You're Mexican. I don't speak
English. That's it, yeah.
Speaking so basically, we,
when you're in our country.
Long story short. We saw the same match that we've seen the Bucks and the Lucha Bros.
Okay, I'll say that out of all the matches so far they've had, this was my favourite one to watch. Because there was ladders and tables involved.
That's it.
So they could flip off more shit.
Do you want to...
Yeah, fair enough.
Can you give a rundown of things that happened, any of the big spots that went on? There was the... It's like a Canadian destroyer through a table off the ladder.
That was pretty nice.
Yeah. Other than that,
people seem to be getting more and more inventive about these Canadian destroyers. I've got some negatives.
I've got some negatives. So there's a couple of table spots on the outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, the guy. Which one? Young Bucks got Canadian destroyered? We'll say Matt Jackson. Is that his name?
One of them. Yeah. Matt's one of them.
We'll say Matt took it, right? Just for pure. Easy.
Yeah.
So he took a Canadian destroyer.
Yeah.
Then he got put through a table on the outside. Literally, a minute later.
Yeah.
He was up and running about. Like about a minute and a half later after that.
Got another spot to do. You know.
It's like
get back up and get involved.
That's got to put you out.
Yeah. Stay out of the match for a good while.
Like, you know when Mankind got chucked off the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Imagine if he just popped up.
Oh yeah. Well, if you time it, how many? Like, must have been 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes.
It was long.
Could have been 10 minutes of him just laying there, nothing happening.
But imagine if he just popped up and was like, I'm ready to go. Oh,
next spot now, Taker, come on.
Pull me through the top.
Yeah.
It's just silly.
It is. And this is where that no one seems to be telling him that, come on, you need to slow things down. Things need to make sense.
Yeah.
You can't just go in and do everything and just pop the crowd with these incredible stunts and very dangerous, but... Come on, work on your selling, guys.
Work on your selling.
There's no logic there.
Well, they all sell really well for about 10 seconds.
The pacing's trash. Well, what's the famous Terry Funk quote is, when you think you've sold for too long, sell for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Like, slow it down as much as you can and milk every moment.
Because Matt should...
Nothing's been milked.
He shouldn't have got up from that Canadian story for Canadian story is meant to be a devastating move. As it is.
Yeah.
But off a ladder, as much as a super kick at the back.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, off a ladder through a table. That's got to be like one of the most devastating moves you'll ever see.
He should not be in that match anymore.
And then
after
he got, like I said, he got put through a table on the outside. Yeah. And then he goes up.
Yeah.
Dancing about.
It's like carrying
kicking
on.
Kicking his way through everything. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
What did you think of the Boston Crab crossface under the ladder? Spot, did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that before. I'm pretty sure Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit did that on someone once.
But when they did that, that was their finishing moves combined. It was kind of like a Power Rangers.
Fusion!
Yeah. It was like a Megazord, you know, combining. Yeah. It was brilliant. I've never seen them do a crossface, so why are they doing it here?
It's literally like they've gone, oh, let's do that Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit thing.
Exactly.
Oh, really good that one time.
It looked great, let's do that. Like, why? That's not your moves. It's not your moveset. Like, it doesn't...
Shoot, Young Bucks, leave it alone.
That's what needs to happen. Someone needs to be doing that.
I genuinely dislike the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
The more and more I see them, the more and more I really don't like them.
Yeah.
I think they're so... They're over in such an odd way. I just don't think... I think wrestling fans are... I don't want to say stupid, but I think they're very blind wrestling fans nowadays.
Yeah.
They like this kind of flippy shit.
Yeah,
but I don't. When is that?
Not the be all and end all, though.
When's it not?
But I'm fine with flippy stuff. You know, we all like Jeff Hardy. We all like Rey Mysterio.
Oh yeah.
But it's got to have meaning and context behind it.
Well, it does.
Those guys were literally putting their bodies on the line, whereas this is more athletic than it is.
It's like watching a film. It's like watching a stuntman go to work. Yeah. That's what it is.
One stunt after another.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy throws himself off something. He could genuinely break his neck. These guys, like you say, just look like stuntmen doing something that they've practiced a million times.
Yeah, but then Jeff Hardy would sell it afterwards as well.
He always did.
He sold it.
And Jeff Hardy would make... He'd mess up.
Yeah.
He'd botch.
Well, yeah.
And it'd add realism to his then when he does hit it, it's like, oh yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly.
Well, when you say that, every time he's ever done a Swanton Bomb, he always sells it like it hurt him a lot. Right, even when he hits it.
It's like Rob Van Damme.
I knew he was going
Rob Van Damme's five-star frog splash. Yeah. He lands it and grabs his gut and kicks his legs. He's like, that's because of course it's going to hurt.
Exactly. Hurts you just as much as them, but right, get into the pinfall, pin him. And then after that, he continued to sell it.
But like you said, though, gimmicks, it's like the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros have just, they've done these moves, practiced them so many times. This looks so clean that it just doesn't look real.
There's no struggle, is there? No. They're not struggling to do these moves on each other. They're all just so willing to, right, let's get into position to do this. Right, let's do this. Oh, yeah, fight forever. Everyone's loving it. Let's get to the next spot. Let's do this. It's no struggle. I mean, it's not a wrestling match.
When the other Young Buck... What's he called?
Nick is the other one.
Oh, let's say Nick, he got pushed off the ladder through the tables on the outside.
Yeah.
That looked pretty bad. Because he did land really awkwardly.
That was an awful landing.
He was clearly meant to go through both tables, but he kind of got... I think his foot touched a rope and it like sort of jerked him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just went really hard through one table. I was like, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Learn. Sell that one.
Yeah, sell that,
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was up like a couple of seconds later.
Exactly.
Doing something else.
Yeah, because he had another spot to do. Yeah.
I can't remember where I'd heard it, but there's... Someone was saying like it's one thing to see two people cooperate with each other, but you've got to make it so that they're cooperating, but it still looks like a fight.
Exactly.
That's... Whereas this just looks like they're cooperating and doing stunts.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And to me, that's not wrestling.
It just annoys me because I heard so much about the Young Bucks, you know, how they're the best in the world and all this crap, and now I've actually seen them wrestle. Mm.
I'm not
sold on it. I don't care.
No. They're very good at what they do.
Yeah. No, they're brilliant at what they do.
But it's not wrestling.
That's not my wrestling.
No.
That's not wrestling to me.
Completely agree.
Pass.
The conclusion of that match, one of the Luchas has the mask taken off. I didn't care by this point.
Oh, yeah, Pentagon gets his mask taken off, which is becoming a bit now.
Yeah.
Because John Moxley did it a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
So it's becoming a bit.
Yeah, taking the mask off, and that takes him out of the match for a bit, but then he comes back anyway and wins. So they took the mask off. It was like, oh no, he's got his mask off. He's going to have to cover himself up. And then it was like, oh no, he's back now. And then they climb the ladder and win. I did some big move, I can't remember, I didn't note it down because I really lost interest by the end.
I was going to say, I believe we've got one more match after this.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Go on, sorry.
Right, you two have talked about this and obviously I've not watched it.
Okay.
Neither of you two have really convinced me to watch the pay-per-view any way, shape or form.
Like I said, there's a couple of good things in it to watch.
But it just sounds long and drawn out and with a lot of meh.
It did feel like some of it did feel like a bit of a chore to watch.
Oh, definitely.
Like it was like, you know, when I'm on my phone and like not really watching it.
Yeah.
Then rest is never good when you're kind of distracted with other things.
You want to be sucked into the story of a match, don't you?
You know, I watch WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I watch WrestleMania.
Exactly.
You know, I'm on it. Even if it's a bad WrestleMania, I'm committed to it all the time.
This did not have me committed in the slightest. No. We did have a debut of another tag team, to add to your point.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. The LAX debut.
Oh, yeah.
Latin American Exchange.
Apparently, they're not allowed to use that name, though.
Oh, they're not?
No, I can't remember what they're going to be called, but they're not allowed to use LAX.
Yeah.
That's TNA owned.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You can't just buy it.
They probably could. TNA will sell you it for cheaper.
Yeah, I'll buy it with Starbucks. I mean,
WWE bought the broken gimmick. To a certain extent, didn't they?
WWE didn't back off. That was a whole shit show. Legal issues.
Matt owned part of it, didn't he?
Yeah, TNA were claiming rights to it.
I think
WWE just wanted to stay out of it.
Yeah, basically, they said, stand back. We'll just have to be the Hardy Boys until you figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because that gimmick should have worked.
It should have done, but let's not go there.
That's off topic.
Whole other tangent.
We've got too much to cover.
The main event, AEW World Championship match to crown the first ever AEW champion, Chris Jericho and Hangman Page.
And another animal got brought out to the intro.
Go on.
Yay, a horse was there this time. Sick. Horses love loud noises. Fucking hell.
Why was there a horse there?
Because he's a cowboy, Ollie.
He's a cowboy.
Use your brain.
Yeah, although I don't imagine many hangmen would have rode the horse to, like, an execution, would they?
No, because they were meant to be, like... incognito.
I have a big hood on and I can't imagine it coming with a horse. And to be fair,
stallion, baby.
Even in wrestling, unless you're like riding to the horse like fucking Tonto, It just looks silly, doesn't
it? If you ride it slow, you look like a bit of a girl.
Yeah, just plodding along. Yeah, you look like a girl having a fucking horse riding.
Yeah, you might as well be side saddle on it, like with his legs crossed, like, oh, my pals.
Why don't you just get the whole hog, ride it down to the ring, like slide up onto the apron, go in and just start shooting pistols.
Shooting
into
the horse, like, yeah, I'm a man, I'm going to eat that.
Yeah, eat it later.
It was silly.
It was silly. But as for the match, what do you reckon?
Well, first off, Chris Jericho's theme song, pretty damn good.
It is, yeah.
It's Fozzy's is it, song, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was proper into it. The match is... It was fine.
There's nothing wrong with it, but
no, it's just...
I think a lot of the air was taken out of the room after the high spots for the Young Bucks match, which again, I understand matches wanting to steal the show, but when you're building up towards your first ever world title match,
don't suck it out.
Don't tire the crowd out with the match.
This
just
is the
before.
Thing, you know, Chris Jericho is brilliant. He's not in his 20s anymore.
No.
He's not going to be fucking jumping around anymore like he used to. Yeah. He did a few of his old spots like he normally does. But
Lion Salt?
I don't think we saw
him. No, I didn't see a Lion Salt.
No. He did his springboard dropkick thing. And,
yeah.
You know, but it's not like he used to be. So he can't steal the show like he used to be able to.
Exactly.
So, yeah, don't put on a fucking big spot fest before the main event.
Well, even if you did that, put the women's match after that, so you've got a bit of a buffer.
The single one.
Exactly, so give the time chance to time.
A bit of a palate cleanser. But
exactly.
The main event mistake now, quite a lot. Like, the first pay-per-view, the last three matches could have all been main events.
Yeah.
You're going to be knackered by the end of the third one.
Again, it's the pacing of these pay-per-views are
It's all
poor.
Off. Yeah, it's terrible. I did like when the referee was selling the shock of Jericho kicking out the Deadeye. He hit the Deadeye. Go on.
I hated the referee.
You hated the ref? I don't know what her name is, but the female ref of AEW.
Yeah, she had the first ever female referee to ref a main event of any pay-per-view in any wrestling ever.
Except Glow.
So that's quite impressive, I guess. But I don't know. I think she was selling better than the Young Bucks were selling.
She was, yeah.
Which is always a bad sign.
It is a bad sign. But she
either makes her a really good ref.
She was a bit dramatic.
She was a bit over the top.
She was a bit over the top. But she was good, but she was a bit over the top.
Yeah. And the fact that they made this, we're going to have a female referee, the first ever one in a world title match, is like, the focus is not the referee.
No.
The focus is the bell. Yeah,
they could have briefly mentioned it, or not even mentioned it at all.
Yeah,
they just let it happen.
Yeah, but they didn't. It's like, oh yeah,
after
this is why.
Like that.
Congratulations, first ever female ref.
The whole women's thing at the moment is kind of stupid that they make these big deals out of all these women's firsts,
shoving it down your throat.
But it's like, but now you're just making it obvious. Just have it happen.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a women main event WrestleMania without you telling us that it's going to be the first one. We know it's the first one.
Yeah,
just let it happen. We don't care.
Exactly.
No one cares. This is the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's how you won.
2019, nobody cares.
I don't give a shit if the women pay-per-view, main event pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if they have their own show. Mm. It's fine.
That's it. That's how you want it to be, it's just another thing. Oh, woman referee, fine, whatever. Jericho won with a Judas elbow.
Judas effect, I think it's called.
Yeah, Judas effect.
Okay.
It's been a very well-protected finisher.
Jericho did get slow open at some point, though.
He did, yeah.
Oh, actually, no, he didn't get slow open. He bladed.
Yeah.
Because I saw the referee clearly giving him a blade.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he went down, you know, this whole thing of the referee goes down like, oh, you all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you all right. Gets a guy out of pocket and giving it something. It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're blading again.
Yeah, that's what we're back to. No more hard ways. Let's blade. Yeah.
Do you prefer blading or hard way?
Blading safer, obviously, because you're doing it to yourself rather than getting hit as hard as you fucking can to make sure your body
would
bleeds.
You rather cut your own forehead open or get an elbow from Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar, you don't need blades of Brock Lesnar. You can fucking get you open.
Fucking elbow's a blade.
It'll get you open.
But we had exchanges of each man kicking out of finishers. Main event, fine. It happens. It's a big match. They both kicked out of each other.
They also didn't call the Walls of Jericho the Walls of Jericho. And then they called it the Lion Tamer.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. But again, does that mean was Walls of Jericho owned by
possibly
WWE?
Probably.
Because I like the Lion Tamer, but we've always said this.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho has two submissions. He has the Walls of Jericho and the Lion Tamer. They're not the same move.
No.
The Walls of Jericho is a standard Boston Crab.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Lion Tamer is the
one where he puts his
knee in the back of the head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I hate when they do that.
Calling the Walls of Jericho a Lion Tamer.
Yeah, it annoys me.
But now he's got the Judas effect.
Which...
which is just a spinning back elbow.
It's just an elbow to the face.
I can say
they're protecting it, and it wins matches.
Exactly. Any move can be, as long as it's protected, it can be a finisher.
So Chris Jericho won, obviously. He's the first AEW champion. Can we talk about the...
Go there.
The hypocrisy of how wrestling fans are nowadays.
Okay, go on.
They hate it.
Oh, Brock Lesnar's won the Money in the Bank. Oh, why didn't some younger guy win it? Oh my God, oh, Brock Lesnar's going to be champion again. Oh, he's 42. Oh, Chris Jericho is the first ever AEW champion. Oh, that's amazing. He's 49. He's 7 years older than Brock Lesnar. Even Chris Jericho gave shit to Brock Lesnar about this when it happened on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's fine because Jericho does it.
Exactly.
Oh, no, but he'll drop it to a younger guy. What do you mean, like Brock Lesnar lost his belt to a younger guy?
Exactly.
But no, he can't do that. It's because... WWE do it, it's bad, but when AEW do it, it's amazing.
It's hypocrisy.
I hate it. Yeah.
It's like the double standards of mainstream against indie wrestling. Some things aren't acceptable.
I'm not saying I hate Chris Jericho being champion. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
I was also fine with Brock Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, me too.
With regards to Jericho winning, I think in the pay-per-views leading up to it, Paige didn't establish himself enough. He wasn't garnering enough reaction from the crowd.
Let's talk about what Paige did. So he won that trash battle royale.
Yeah.
And then he won a match against Kip Sabian.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, Kip Sabian's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I'll talk that guy up forever. Yeah. I love him.
What is he?
He's an absolute babe.
There you go.
But...
I mean, I don't think you can ever mention Kip Sabian without saying that line.
But he's not an established wrestler, so Hangman winning a match against him is... Not against Kip Sabian, but it's just a standard jobber win, really, isn't it?
Especially when it took him so long to do it, and it was a very competitive match.
Yeah.
He should really just walked in there and battered him.
Yeah.
Because he's the number one contender, and you want to make him look as strong as possible.
But isn't this the same as Cody Rhodes not being able to put away Darby Allin?
Exactly.
Which,
yeah,
again, was stupid in its own right, and we called it out for being stupid.
I do want to say something, though. So we mentioned a while ago about how it's eventually going to be the Young Bucks as tag team champions, Omega and the champion, all that crap.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, the next match that's going to happen is Cody Rhodes versus Chris Jericho for the belt.
Mm-hmm. You reckon?
So, no, it is happening. It's been announced.
Oh, it's already been announced?
It's already been announced. So it's not took that long for these... Well, we're not going to be the focus of our show.
Yeah,
not too long to be the focus of their show.
Yeah, that's it.
WCW all over again.
But again,
Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and bloody Hulk Hogan just having everything.
Do it, yeah.
But they are the biggest names in AEW.
Yeah.
So it's a juggling act.
But then it's hypocrisy again because it's, the younger guys, get the younger guys over. Yeah, all right, they're getting all these young guys on the show. Some of them don't deserve to be there at all, so that's misjudged. But then, yeah... You're going to have Cody in the world title match against Chris Jericho. Paige has had his title match, but now that's it. Where's he going to go from here?
Yeah.
There's no
mid-card belt for him to fall back to at the moment.
Exactly.
So he's got to establish himself again.
Exactly. And then how long before Moxley, once he's back from injury, he'll be in that title picture.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And he should be.
And exactly, he should be. I completely agree. But fans of AEW cannot bitch about WWE and what they do when AEW were doing the same thing. Half the stuff that happened on here, if it happened in WWE, they would shit on it. Because it happened on AEW, it's the best thing ever.
Because
it's the new darling show, and it can't do anything wrong.
There was a thing with CM Punk, in an interview, and he said, he said, just enjoy it. It's like, why are the people saying, oh, I like AEW, WWE's trash, or I watch NXT, and I don't watch AEW because it's rubbish. He's like, just watch it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Just watch what you want to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop complaining about the stuff you're not watching.
Yeah, just enjoy what you are watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when CM Punk's like the voice of reason in wrestling today, that's a crazy world.
What world are we living in now? Yeah.
To give AEW a rating, I think this was the hardest one to watch. It was really bad.
It seems.
It was, there was some good moments, but it just seems like a nowhere show now.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip the pay-per-view. I'm just going to go wait until we see the TV.
The TV show needs to excite me. I won't be reviewing any more AEW on here.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to watch it.
Wow.
So that's it for me.
Fair enough. I completely agree. I think the TV is such a different animal that it could turn everything around for AEW, in our opinions.
But they've got to.
But they need to do things right on TV, because on pay-per-view, they're not... For me, they're not doing things right.
And things have got steadily worse from all in.
It's been a slow and painful decline.
Let's be honest, we're not like some WWE fanboys.
No,
we shit on WWE
so many times.
Oh, yes.
But I respect WWE for they're changing the stuff, the formula at the moment. You know, they're going a different path.
Yeah.
Great. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, they'll just do it again.
They can change again.
Yeah. But AEW, after 4 pay-per-views, needs to change straight away.
So the big competitor on that night against AEW's All Out was NXT UK's TakeOver Cardiff.
And me and you, Flamerald, have shit on NXT UK for a long time.
Yeah.
And let's just say there's a reason we're doing NXT UK last as our main event as opposed to AEW. It was a lot better.
Yes!
I feel
justified.
I'm not saying I'm on board with NXT UK. I'm not saying I'm going to start watching it every week.
No.
I'm just saying that this pay-per-view surprised me a lot.
Yep.
In a good way.
It was... Let's get into it. I was going to start giving a summary of it, but let's go through the pay-per-view first.
I'm just going to say, I didn't see the pre-show bits.
Nah, no one did.
I didn't watch the pre-show bits.
we'll quickly glaze over it then. Rhea Ripley defeated Piper Niven.
Oh, I wish I'd watched that.
And Cassius Ohno beat Sid Scala.
Who?
Sid Scala.
There's only one Sid in wrestling, and it's not Scala.
No.
Is it? Let's be honest.
Sid Scala. Sounds like a Bond villain from the 70s.
It does, yeah. Sid Scala.
He's the man. And his name is Sid.
He's the guy that normally does the introductions. I don't know why Cassius Ohno.
Yeah.
Because Cassius Ohno is a jobber and can't do anything because he's trash.
Oh no, he can. There's no argument to that, is there?
Oh, that is... Oh no, his name is so ripe for some UK banter, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Good old banter.
You should have a tagging partner called Cassius Oh Yes.
And that's
buttons.
What I do.
Maybe you should have buttons.
Buttons.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Buttons.
Oh, he's behind you.
Okay, let's get to the actual pay-per-view then. We started off with Noam Dar defeating Travis Banks.
Good match.
Very good match.
Very good opener.
Fast-paced opener. Yeah. I do feel
it
like...
It was an opening match. It was...
Yeah.
As far as... This is where WWE get it right. Mm-hmm. That is what you have for an opening match. It's... To get you warmed up.
It's nothing like it's going to blow your mind, yeah. But it's nothing that's, you know, you're going to...
You're not
going to
get offended by it.
Yeah, you're not going to know it's trash.
Like I say, it just warms you up for what's coming.
Yeah. I did... My only criticism was at times I felt like it was a bit of a knockoff match because I was seeing... I felt like I was watching like a Finn Balor versus Daniel Bryan, but like a cheap knockoff version.
Yeah,
of it.
I got that.
A lot of similar moves and the way they were moving in the ring. I kind of got that vibe at times, but that was a very minor criticism. It was a decent match. I was happy with it. Yeah, I like Noam Dar.
Yeah,
I knew that going in.
Yeah, he is a good heel.
Yeah, Travis Banks I didn't know much about, but
the Kiwi Buzzsaw.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before. I thought it was shit. But it is a Kiwi buzzsaw. To me, it just sounds like he's chopping up kiwis.
That should totally be. He should be a buzzsaw though, like to Jerry's
buzzsaw kick, just a kick to the head.
That would have made more sense.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Second match.
Cesaro.
The main event, you mean?
Cesaro comes in saying, "I'll take on anyone," and then
puts on the best match I've seen in fucking forever.
Ilya Dragunov.
This guy I've never
screams,
heard of. Never heard of this guy.
No, I haven't.
Chases after him basically into the ring.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, that's all you need. That's it. There's your match. No build. Just, we knew Cesaro was going to be there. We knew he was going to do something. There we go.
I thought Cesaro looks a little bit lethargic in places.
Okay.
Minor criticism though, because the match as a whole was very good.
I think the only issue with that is because he was working with a wrestler he's never... worked with before.
Exactly.
What's the wrestler's?
Ilya Dragunov.
Dragunov, okay.
Great name.
I've never seen him or heard anything about him before.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to expect. I mean, let's be honest, he was there to, like, you know, put over Cesaro.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like just a squash match or anything silly.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. And there was a memorable chant in the middle. Do you both remember what it was?
No. Are you watching Vince McMahon? Which they say actually 2 or 3 times in the pay-per-view.
Yes.
Yeah, and then Vince McMahon replied and said, I am watching it and I'm enjoying it.
Really?
That's brilliant.
I love that.
I know, so Vince McMahon was actually watching it.
Good.
Mainly because of Cesaro, though. It's like, fucking, let's just get Cesaro.
Do you think Cesaro's seen the light when he's put a match on in the UK where he's probably not expecting a lot, but he gets this massive pop and everyone loves it?
Yeah.
You know, he did the span around 40 times.
Yeah, and the counting. I love the... Just a quick aside, the UK crowd are absolutely phenomenal.
They were hot all night. They were hot
for everything. You were saying about them having... crowd needing a cool down period. These guys needed no cool down whatsoever because they just chanted for everything, and they've got that unique British banter as well.
Yeah.
And it felt almost like a football match or something like that.
Yeah,
you get
a soccer match.
Soccer?
No.
Soccer. You sound like you're from the West Country. Soccer.
You know what I mean? Like there's something very distinctive about a British crowd.
Oh, definitely.
At these kind of
events,
and it really showed there.
And apparently, a British crowd has more stamina than an American crowd, as you say. Yeah. They're cool enough.
Well, the match was great. You know, Cesaro couldn't put this guy down.
Yeah,
the neutralizer.
He kept trying to put him down. He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, then the neutralizer was one of the best neutralizers I've seen Cesaro doing a long time. I like the move in general, and we haven't seen it.
Never really used it much as when he was in the bar. I never really saw it that much.
Here and there, but what I liked was he'd hit him with the massive uppercut. He hit him with that, and it was kind of like, that's match over, but now, right, I'm going to hit the neutralizer just to make sure you ain't getting up. Brilliant, because as you say, you couldn't put him down.
But the finish the match. Let's just take this thing, guys.
I think, honestly, I'd say it's a 5-star match from Cesaro.
Yeah.
And the other guy just...
did his job very well.
Very, very good at his job. And I'm excited to see that other guy wrestle. I can't remember his name again, sorry.
Dragunov. Yeah, because it was quite a slow build into the match, which goes to the point of Cesaro kind of phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah.
But...
I think the crowd probably
built into
him
it, and as soon as he got to that swing, after that, it was just like peak.
The slow starting and stuff that happened in a few other matches throughout the night.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I agree. Mm. I think you can't start hot as oh.
Well, yeah,
because then you got to keep that momentum the whole way through a match.
Exactly.
You know, when it's a 20-minute match, you can't expect the rest of the fucking be as hot as that.
It went for 12 minutes 26 seconds.
So yeah,
fine.
It built. It got to the swing, and then it was just hot for the rest of the match.
Not to slag off the Young Bucks anymore, because you know we do that a lot.
but
you know, they from the bell, they're flipping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They can't do that.
There's no pacing. There's no timing. There's no build.
The pacing in this was just
brilliant
perfection.
And also, for the first time ever, I've noticed that Cesaro, who's a Swiss Superman, he's from Switzerland. His finish is called the Neutralizer.
Because they're a neutral country.
I only learned that
the other day.
I picked up on that watching the show. I don't know why, but
yeah, I read it somewhere.
What do we see for Cesaro? Does this open doors for him in WWE, or does he just get put back in the meat grinder and just
stick him in NXT UK and have him beat Walter?
Have him. Well,
he's European.
If Walter wasn't there, I would say Cesaro could be NXT UK champion and just piss it completely.
Yeah.
But he's going to go back to WWE, and I think he's just going to get lost in the shuffle again.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. But I think he could be. He could be a champion. He could be main event. Right.
In the WWE title scene at the moment, and we talked about this, there's a lot of like smaller, like athletic guys winning it. You know, we've got Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton, which I kind of like, actually. Randy Orton's kind of gone back on the top for me at the moment.
Yeah,
I like
fair
him.
Enough.
He's gone back.
He's gone back to being that cool ass Randy Orton. I could see Cesaro slotting in there eventually, you know, against the Randy Orton, against the Kofi Kingston or whoever's like, you know, a couple of months' time, I could see that, but I really don't.
Does it?
I don't know. I want him to do it. I love Cesaro. I've always loved him.
Yeah. Pull the trigger on him.
Let's just say that Ricochet's had a bigger push than Cesaro
has
ever had, probably, during his WWE tenure.
Who was it who knocked Cesaro out of the King of the Ring tournament? Was it Ricochet did that?
Possibly.
I think it was, yeah.
So there's the proof in the pudding, really.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, he was losing in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament. Goes to
match,
UK.
It's always going to be a good match.
And that's the thing. Well, Cesaro with anyone. He has a good match with anyone.
Yeah, I see him like a Bret Hart.
Yeah.
In the regards he can put on a good match against
anyone.
He's the excellence of execution
Yeah,
he really is.
And he does a sharpshooter, so,
yeah. Yeah, and a crossface.
Yeah,
he pulled all them out, didn't he?
If anything, he's actually Canadian, so...
So maybe it's just, is it an American thing? A European, a British audience is different. He can connect better with them.
But most importantly, Cesaro is now allowed to eat apples again. After all this time. Because he won't allow to eat apples because there'd be no in when he knocks his teeth in.
Yeah.
Not SummerSlam.
Two or three years ago. But he put a picture on Instagram.
With his teeth.
And he's like, oh, I'm allowed to eat my favourite fruit again. After all this time, I was like, I'm happy for him.
Good for you.
We love you, Cesaro.
And Adrian Street was in the crowd. What did you reckon to this? Adrian Street, who's now got a documentary on the network, or it's upcoming on the network. Adrian Street, who never wrestled in WWE, but he's a British wrestling legend.
Oh, okay.
He was in the crowd.
I've seen it coming up on the network.
Imagine What I Could Do to You is the name of it, because apparently he's a genuine tough guy. He's only 4 foot tall, but he's... yeah, you watch him, he seems stood next like Vince McMahon when they've had meetings, and he's up to, not even up to Vince's tits.
Vince has pretty big tits.
He's got massive tits. But, yeah, he's a random guy in the audience. I didn't see it coming.
It does seem like WWE... I think they kind of... investing in the NXT UK a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like you were saying, I could see on British TV eventually, get down the line. No, they can't go on ITV now though.
Because
AEW's on ITV.
And ITV, of course, the number two behind BBC. So do you go for the number one? Would BBC accept WWE?
It's not BBC, is it?
What I said. I don't think the BBC will touch it. No. But. Channel 4, Channel 5.
Channel 4 have touched it before.
I don't want it on Channel 5.
No, Channel 5
is
shit.
Well, Channel 5 is highest time, yeah.
I could see it on Dave.
Dave.
Oh my god, I'd love to see it on
you
Dave.
You could see it on Dave.
Dave? Yeah. Isn't that like old comedies?
No.
Well, they have like Traffic Police and stuff like that.
Border Patrol.
What's Ice Road Truckers on?
Whatever it is.
Dave.
Yeah. It's on Dave, Fuck it, get on Dave then.
I could see it on Dave.
Next match?
It is the triple tag team match for the belts.
Multi-man match, obviously.
Andrews and Morgan being touted as the Welshmen representing.
Yep.
Gibson and Drake, who are the champions.
Yep.
And Gallus being represented by Mark Coffey and Wolfgang.
Yep. What did you think of the match?
I really enjoyed it, actually. So many false finishes and... Oh my god.
It's what we just talked about. The beginning of it, the first few minutes, 5 minutes, I was a bit, it's just another fucking standard triple threat tag team match. Nothing happening. But I was saying to Flemrod on the way here, because the winner of the match are the Welsh guys. I'll spoil that right now.
Andrews and Morgan stole the title at the end
Halfway through the match, I just found myself rooting for them. And when they won, I audibly went, yes! audibly. Just like, I had my headphones on, I was like, yes! Like,
you got invested in
I was invested in two guys I didn't know anything about. Like, a couple, the other guys I kind of knew a bit about, I've seen them about, but these two Welsh guys, I never knew anything about them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, damn.
The Modfather.
It was good.
That's what his nickname is.
I know that's what his nickname is. There's only one Modfather in the world, and that's Paul Weller. So
some of the
gimmick infringement.
Some of the double team moves were pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, there's that weird one where it's like it looked like it was a tombstone, and then he lifted it up into a codebreaker.
Oh yeah.
That was incredible.
Very good move.
That was really
like
good.
Like you say, it started slow, but by the end there was just false finish after false finish, and it was almost exhausting, but in a good way, because you're just thinking, God, who's gonna win it?
Yeah. Wrestling is getting you invested in these characters.
Yeah.
And as you say, Rusty, you didn't know who these guys were, but you were invested.
Yeah.
That meant they were telling the right story, doing it the right way.
And that's something AEW hasn't done yet with me.
There you go.
They haven't put on these matches, because I don't know how the any wrestlers in AEW.
Overall, how would you two rate the match?
You two are very enthusiastic about it. That's why I've kept quite reserved in this, because I did not enjoy it as much as you two.
That's fair enough.
Because...
I don't think Gallus got involved enough.
Yeah,
I think they spent too much time out of it.
If I would change anything about the match, I'd get rid of Gallus.
Mm-hmm.
I'd completely get rid of him in the match.
Just have it 2-on-2.
Because the match was like, you have the two Welsh guys, the smaller, high flyers.
Yeah.
And you have the middle guys, the Gibson and the other dude.
Drake.
They were like your middle ground, your athletic, but they can do a bit of jumping.
Yeah.
And then you have the fighters.
The big guys.
The big guys.
I mean, Wolfgang had been on NXT before.
Yeah, I just didn't... I did enjoy him in the match, but a lot of the time they weren't ever in any of it.
Yeah.
It was the other two tag teams.
Yeah. They just made breaks for the pinfalls, basically. They didn't really do a whole lot. And that's one criticism I have.
I could have got rid of them.
Yeah.
Overall, the match I thought was good.
Fair enough.
Not enough Gallus, because they didn't involve themselves enough.
Yeah.
I don't really like triple threat tag teams. I think if you're going to have a multi-man tag team, I think it always needs to be four tag teams, not three.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I think the three just makes it a bit odd. I know, obviously it's odd, but like it looks odd.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, because then you could have, if it's four teams, you've got two teams that could be scrapping on the outside when the fall happens in the ring with the other two teams.
See, and also, like, when it's the, obviously they have the two men in the ring and then they can tag anyone. When it's but when it's three of them, it seems a bit strange. I feel like there should be three of them in the ring, but then you can only tag in your own partner then. But when it's the four teams, it makes sense to have two and then you can tag in anyone, because it's like, oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
I like that.
What do we think of like the finishers and stuff, like the Slumdog Millionaire by Andrews? And
well, you watch NXT UK regular. How many finishers?
Guys. I didn't know any of the finishers.
Yeah, me either. So I could have just been seeing a signature move. But how many finishers did we kind of see in there? Did everyone get the finisher?
I think quite a few finishers were flown about.
Too much for me.
What was that one where, like?
Well, then there was broken up by other people, not by just picking out.
No, fair point.
The news is we have our first ever Welsh WWE like champion.
Yeah, that's the big thing out of this, is the first Welsh.
They're the first Welsh people to ever win a belt in the WWE.
Coincidentally, on a pay per view in Wales.
Yeah,
their hometown boys.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Like,
and they didn't make it like a massive deal, but they did make mention of.
We talked about it in SummerSlam. It was too much Canadian fan service because it was in Toronto. Was it Toronto? It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas here, this was it. These are your hometown boys. They're going for the tag belts. You know, put all your eggs in that basket. Yeah. They won. Big celebration. But nothing wrong with that.
But they went in the crowd and the crowd lapped.
But they didn't use the fact that they were Welsh as like, you know, like when Natty comes out and talks about a dead dad and like, well, it's like Buddha.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But like, they didn't use the fact that they were Welsh in any point. Or, you know, I kind of forgot halfway through that they were Welsh. Like,
yeah.
I didn't really pay attention to that.
Another, I'm going to mention Mark Andrews again. What do you think of his entrance with the whoa, with his swinging the arms and then the whole crowd getting into it?
Nah, a bit too cheesy for my liking.
Too Welsh.
Yeah. Bit too sheepish.
Hey. Well, okay, so moving on to the next one.
Yep.
It is the last man standing match between Joe Coffey and Dave Mastiff. Now,
okay.
I'm going to say, when I went into this match, I had very low expectations of it.
Yeah, okay.
And it, for me, exceeded all expectations right up until the end when they spoiled it.
Okay, all right. Well, let's start with Mastiff with his tribute to Vader. He wears the outfit with the same font and the black and the red like Vader. I love that straight away.
I mean, I wish he did the dance, like the little Vader dance.
Side to side, like a crab.
I always like the Vader dance.
Yeah, me too.
Whatever his hand is, that, innit? Shimmying about. I love that.
Shimmying Vader. We had Paul Cues
and cricket bats.
Yeah.
Which I think is a brilliant nod to its, to it being a British show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rather than, I mentioned it to you on
baseball bats and
Facebook, instead of kendo sticks and baseball bats, we've got Paul Cues and cricket bats.
I mean, I don't want to be hit with a cricket bat.
No.
God, those things are solid. That did not look like a worked bat.
No.
That slap sounded hefty and real.
Well, we started the match with the turnbuckle break-in.
Yeah.
Like, I saw online people were confused if it was, you know, legit.
At work or...
I mean, regardless if it was or not, I think it was a pretty good idea.
And they used it.
I think
it was a work, because obviously they ended up working their way back up to the...
But they used it again later on because Coffey went to like do a like a springboard sort of move. And he fell because the rope was broke.
Exactly,
Genius.
Yeah.
That's using what's happened in the match.
Exactly,
Storytelling. Learn AEW.
Storytelling.
I liked
how Dave Mastiff got that turnbuckle and he's like ramming it up Coffey's nose choking him with it. And
it is.
It told a good story. Yeah. Like you say, Coffey fell off the turnbuckle trying to do a move off the top because of the collapsed ring. They took it to the outside. They pulled all sorts of... Gallus had their own little bag of tricks that they pulled out from under the ring, which It was a bit cheesy for me, but...
Again, yeah.
Gallus on the bag and everything.
Yeah, well, I guess that's kind of like Moxley when he pulled out that that board with the barbed wire around it. It's like he'd been there before.
Yeah, because it had the ripped shirt on
it. Did, yes. Yeah.
Storytelling.
Storytelling, Moxley did.
Oh, from a WWE guy.
Exactly.
Interesting. Like he learned something at WWE.
He did, yeah. As actually, much as he wants to slag it off, he did learn something.
They actually snapped the pool cue, didn't they? When
over his back, yes.
Oh, and like I said, that cricket bat shot to the back, just... Oof.
No, but as two big guys, you know, going at it.
Bouncing at it off each other.
I was all right with it. Yeah.
That was one of those... drag down, knock out, whatever it is, fights. I've got it.
Knock down, drag out, brawls.
It was literally one of those. It was. And they made it work, and like they fought through the crowd.
There was a spot where like Mastiff had two chairs, and he chucked one to Coffee, and then they both just ran each other.
Yeah,
chairs.
I did enjoy that. I thought it was a bit silly, but I loved it.
I know, I love that. I did love that.
But yeah, let's go to the end.
Yep.
The end was
poor.
It was different.
I was going to say this, right?
No, but then Tommaso Ciampa did a similar thing against Johnny Gargano in their last man in match.
Last man in stand.
Last man standing match.
That's what AEW would call it.
Yeah.
NXT TakeOver, whichever one it was.
Bit different, just enough.
But no, I didn't know that. Last man standing matches that end in a different way.
Yeah.
Like I said, just beating up and then can't get out. Because there was that one with John Cena and Batista where John Cena... duct tape Batista's legs together.
Brilliant.
Round the ring post. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. There was one where I think it was Big Show. You got like three tables, like announce tables, chucked the top of him.
Yeah.
So the ending was. I like the idea of the ending. It just felt a bit. I don't know. I don't want any build to it.
It was anticlimactic.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And it didn't make Coffee look strong. It made him look maybe a bit smarter. But that's about it.
Well, not only that, but. To me, he was Mastiff was pretty much on his feet.
Yeah.
So
the rules is when your feet are on the floor flat, that means you're up.
You're up. So when that happened, then he kicked his leg from. He kicked the
flat case, yeah.
Yeah. From under his arm, and he fell back over. It's kind of like, well, he was stood up, so the count should have been broken, but. It was a different idea, but yeah, it didn't work for me.
It didn't work. The match as a whole.
It was all right.
It was 90% pretty good.
Yeah,
10%.
I really enjoyed it more than I expected to.
Yeah.
I was just let down by that.
Like, this is one of the Last Man Standing matches where I wanted it to be, he's just done a massive move on him and he can't get up. Yeah. I wanted it to be like, he's like when they both went through the tables on the top,
God.
I wish it was like Coffee had just chucked him off.
Yeah.
And that would have been better.
That's it. Then
but
just
it still looked like a beasty spot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but two big guys falling quite far is, you know.
It's going to hurt.
After that one, it was Kaylee Ray against Toni Storm for the NXT UK Women's Championship.
Right, okay.
That filler match we were talking about before.
This is the filler match, yeah.
Exactly. They had the big spot match with the big guys, and I mean, it wasn't a big finish, but they had a lot of tables were involved and whatnot.
And they needed time to repair the ring. And...
So cool it down with the... I don't want to sound derogatory towards women, but... It's just he cooled the fans off with two women in the ring having a match.
I thought the women wrestlers were done with this like women wrestling, like you know where they slap each other and
yeah,
like they were slapping each other. Toni Storm started crying. What the fuck was that? Right, I hate Toni Storm. She's shit. I hate her after that. Yeah,
this
I hate the whole thing.
The weakest match of the
card. I mean, it was the match was fine. I say it was fine. It was
overall it was.
Kaylee Ray was. Okay, she was fine, but Toni Storm ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Crying in the ring. Crying? You haven't even lost yet. It was really bad.
I felt let down by this match. Yeah. It wasn't as good as I think it could have been.
It's a shame because I didn't expect a lot of Kaylee Ray, and I was impressed by her for the most part.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
But as you say, the crying with Toni Storm, and it's just like, it kind of lost me in the match now.
This is the thing as well. I think we've been given so many good women's matches in the last couple of years that they have to always look to that expectation now.
They do, yeah.
And we can judge them that way now. We can judge them as a... You know, like you have these great men wrestling matches and you have the really shit ones.
Yeah.
It's like that now. Yeah. We're going to have these really good women's matches and these ones that are like, oh, well, it happened.
And that was it.
So anyway, this women's revolution is ruined women's wrestling because it gave us too much good women's wrestling.
Yeah.
Kaylee Ray won So she's now the third ever NXT UK Women's Champion.
What's her finisher called? It's like a widow's peak, isn't
glory
it?
Glory Bomb, they called it.
They call it a glory bomb.
The Paddy dude, what's his name? Nigel McGuinness.
Nigel McGuinness.
You want to say Paddy McGuinness.
He just called it a glory bomb.
Well, I like it because she did it onto the ropes.
And then did it again, yeah.
And then did it again. Again, just putting like an exclamation point on the match. Like, right, that's probably going to beat you when I've done it on the ropes, but I'm going to pick you up and hit you with it again just to make sure.
And I like the gory bomb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a good move. Move.
Good move. Chavo does it best, but, you know, whatever.
I think Gory did it best.
Yeah. Chavo was good, though.
Chavo's was very good.
After that little palate cleanser to cool you down before the main event, Walter defending his title against Tyler Bates.
A long ass main event.
Well, a 42-minute main event.
Let's just say this: when I was watching it, it got to that bit, and I looked at the time left, and it was an hour. Like, this is just as the promo started. Yeah. I was like, "There's an hour." I was like, "What? Like, there's an hour? What's this going to be?"
Yeah.
It happened, and holy shit, it was fucking ridiculously good.
It didn't feel like 42 minutes.
No, it fucking did.
No.
Like a clash. It felt like an epic clash.
Slow start.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like a little slow build up.
Slow build, yeah,
Go in and go in, and then by the end, I was on the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm.
I sighed after it finished because I was like, oh my God, it's over. But not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like a, oh my God, I can't believe I just watched that.
Like an epic battle.
Yeah.
You can finally breathe at the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, the story was simple, very effective.
Yeah.
Tyler Bate was the underdog babyface against this monster heel. Walter is.
He's beat him up and everything beforehand, so he was out trying to exact revenge.
He's great. Yes. Walter's great.
Yes.
Like, I'm looking at him as a big guy. I'm like, you know, a lot of big guys, they can't move. They just do a lot of punches and a lot of fucking shoves and slams. I was watching him, and I'm like, I saw him again. You know, I saw him against Pete Dunne a few months ago. He was fine, but I think this showed him he's a legitimate wrestler.
Oh, God,
He's not just a big monster heel.
He's not a Great Khali.
No, or Big Show, or even an Undertaker to a degree.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a big guy, and he can work the big way like them people, but he can also wrestle.
Yeah.
He can grapple. He can... He's fantastic.
And let's be honest, his chops.
Oh.
What are them?
Oh, they're so hard hitting, aren't they?
He breaks people's ribs with them.
You hear it, and it's like, oh my God, he's killed him. He's chopped him to death.
Yeah.
Like Ric Flair's looking at it going, oh, woo.
Yeah, woo.
All doing this is like, woo, oh man, I'm really bad.
Yeah. Ooh. You don't get a woo with Walters, do you? You get a.
Oh!
Oh my God, he's dead!
I really do think Walter is going places. I think he could be. My only sort of concern is he going to make it to WWE, a Raw or a SmackDown, and he's going to become a
monster new heel who just gets dropped out.
He's going to be Kozlov, you know, that kind of guy, or is he going to go there and be fucking a dominant heel?
That's Rock.
Yes. Yeah. But he kicked out the Tyler Driver.
Yeah.
What an impressive Tyler Driver that was.
He got the Tyler Driver.
Yeah.
The guy's like twice as fucking big as him.
Let's talk about a match that, like, Walter battered him.
Mm-hmm.
The storytelling in this match was perfection.
Yes.
Because Walter was absolutely hammering him, constantly hammering Tyler Bates down and down and down.
Yeah.
Tyler Bates just wouldn't give up.
Yeah.
It was pure grit. It wasn't bullshit kicking out. It was, he is surviving on pure grit and determination.
Towards the end of the match, you know, Tyler Bates kicked out of a powerbomb after a one count.
Yeah.
And you know, I see one count, so I'm like, ugh, one count.
But yeah.
That was the best one count I've ever
seen.
He's
like, oh my God, how?
Yeah. That's like pure instinct. He's been hit with his powerbomb. Instinct, I've just kicked out. Like, he's not all there. He's not with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great.
Yeah, you know, Walter took a few high spots, you know, off the apron. Off the floor, but pretty fucking brutal. Off the top rope.
Yeah.
Brutal.
No.
Tyler did. Did he eventually get the helicopter?
He did.
Spin on Walter, who, let's be honest, is probably about three times as heavy. Tyler Bate is like, what is he, build at about 160, 170 or something like that.
Tyler Bates also hit him with a burning hammer.
Yeah.
Yes!
I was like, oh my God.
And like, McGuinness was like, it's a burning hammer! And it's like, and I had to rewind and go, shit, has he just hit a burning hammer? And it's like,
I'm not that side of Nigel McGuinness mostly. he made the commentary in this match so much. It was so good, that commentary.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
got so invested. Like, he's meant to be the heel commentator.
Yeah.
But he was so invested in it.
Exactly.
He got so... And he even said halfway through, he's like, I'm so excited!
Yeah.
<It's> like,
and how can you not?
Realism. Yeah. That's yeah. it. It brings a bit of realism to it.
Exactly.
He's thrown off the facade of this... heel commentator just to enjoy the wrestling that's happening.
Yeah, and it was absolutely fantastic. And what I also liked was Walter hit the big splash off the top.
Yeah.
Tyler Bate kicked out. Now, that was the big splash that beat Pete Dunne for the belt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, right, that was enough to win the belt last time round. It's not enough to beat Tyler Bate.
No.
He's just got too much balls.
Let's just remember that Tyler Bate is like... 21, 22,
yeah,
something
very,
like that.
He's
very,
young.
Very young. He was like 18.
Well, that's why his move's called Tyler Driver 97, because he was born in 97.
Like 22.
Really? 22
so,
then, yeah.
He's so young, and he's such an accomplished wrestler for someone his age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can I just put a little bit of a damper on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a little bit.
Doing,
okay.
Go on.
So, yeah, the big splash, and he kicked out. Then it was the power bomb, and he kicked out a one. Fantastic. True grit. Then it's like he was hulking up. Tyler Bate was hulking up. He was getting back into it. He was ready for this babyface comeback. The crowd were chanting, Tyler, Tyler Bate.
Tyler, Tyler Bate. Na 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 na.
Fantastic. It was the moment for him to have some comeback, get some offense in on Walter, maybe take him off his feet, do something. Walter hit him with a clothesline and pinned him 1-2-3.
I disagree with you. I actually really enjoyed that.
Really?
Because, like, well, basically, Walter had just done everything to this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, what I've got left? I don't know. I'm just going to smack him really hard.
Yeah, it was like, well, yeah,
let's be honest, it wasn't a clothesline. It felt more like
a. Like a lariat.
It felt like more like a clothesline from hell.
Yeah.
Kind of, like a JBL, like, proper forcing
like,
into him.
Yeah.
But that was, like, basically Tyler Bate on his reserve, literally just the fans getting him up. And there you go, you give that impression that maybe just bang, nope, gone.
I think that makes Walter look pretty good.
Yeah. It makes him look very strong, don't get me wrong. I just wanted a flurry from Tyler Bate.
One last flurry.
One last flurry, and then...
kicks and punches.
That's
and,
it.
Yeah,
not, get him off his feet once, and then he's getting ready for the Tyler Driver. Oh no, he's broke out of it and laid him out with whatever move he's going to beat him with.
Fair enough.
That's what I wanted, but I just felt like it deflated the crowd. 1, 2, 3,
bit,
and it went, oh.
I do agree with that. It did feel a bit deflated.
But then again, like you say, when the match was over for you, you'd side because it was this epic, finally concluded. It was a good thing. So yeah, it's a very minor thing. I would say that match, very nearly perfect. Like,
you reckon start it'll get a Meltzer? Five stars?
I don't give a shit what he's
saying. Fuck Meltzer.
He can say whatever he wants. Wait, it was Omega in this match.
It's
not going to get five stars.
Was it the Tokyo Dome? No,
not five stars.
I personally, I thought it was very near perfection. That just that end took it down a little bit for me, but that's just personal preference.
Yeah, because like I said, I enjoyed it. So
the only down spots for me were the women's title match. I think was a little underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And the finish to the last man standing.
Okay.
But apart from that, I very much enjoyed the
The women's match was by far the down point for me.
The weakest one.
The triple tag, again, it's just personal preference. I did not dig it as much. It was all right. I just didn't dig it as much. But yeah, them two matches, other than that, is a great pay-per-view.
I mean, what do we have to say about ourselves?
Yeah, come on, you two.
What do we need to say here?
I want to hear this.
Because I'm going to say it. I'm not going to watch NXT UK. I'm not going to start watching it now.
No.
I might watch the takeovers.
Yeah.
Same with NXT. I don't watch NXT every week, but I watch the takeovers when they appeal to me.
They're short shows though, aren't they? NXT UK's like 30 minutes, 35 minutes.
Like that,
They're really short shows. Yeah. So I mean, I'm probably still not going to watch them.
No.
But
if you wanted to get into more of the stories, then you could.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I mean, they have got this thing going on at the moment with the Imperium.
I like that group. I like that faction.
You've got Walter, Fabian Aichner, the one that was tag team with Fabian Aichner, but I can't remember his name. And
some guy from
Sanity. Wolf.
Yeah, the guy from Sanity. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it is literally It's literally Nazis. They're literally like,
yeah.
And they've even stated they're here to take over NXT UK and put it under their rule.
And kill all the Jews. That's what? They
didn't
say that.
but it really plays on the British history.
Yeah.
Like the whole World War II thing. Like, and I'd like to see maybe Pete Dunne come back with British Strong Style to try and stand up against it, maybe form an alliance with Gallus just to try and take him down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Gallus are like the Scottish faction, British Strong Style are the British faction, and then you've got this dastardly Imperium.
Gang Wars.
Gang Wars.
Back.
Bring them back. Yeah, it's 997 all over again.
Would I have watched this pay-per-view if it wasn't for this podcast? No.
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 Are you glad you did?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I really liked it, but I don't know if I want to watch more wrestling.
Yeah. That's it. It's like,
I barely watch Raw and SmackDown anymore.
Yeah, no, me too.
I just catch the highlights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a chore to get through wrestling as it is. Like, not a chore, because I have been enjoying what I've been watching.
It's just
but
so much.
It's so much, yeah.
Maybe we don't like wrestling.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what, this is the last podcast.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Thanks for listening.
Just push the table over.
Rusty, as a non-NXT UK fan, but you watched this, you enjoyed it. Who on this pay-per-view could you see going to a Raw or a SmackDown? Or just developing further? Because as much as we did enjoy it, it's...
Not Cesaro.
Well, I was going to say, I think that Cesaro from... can go places.
Okay, apart from him.
Well, we certainly said Walter could. Yeah. But, you know, again, it's that worry of him, like you said, becoming a Volokov and just,
yeah.
What was that his name? Volokov?
Kozlov.
Volokov was the other dude.
Volkov.
Yeah,
70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Remember Kozlov? Yeah. He had a victory against the Undertaker.
He did.
And
yeah.
Then he was a couple of years later.
He was tag team with Santino Marella.
So could easily go down that path?
Yeah. Which would
but,
be.
I mean, I like Tyler Bates, but
he's not big.
He'll just go into the whole mid card.
He would. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Any big. I don't know, actually. It's a tough one, that question.
Where would they fit in?
I'm actually just going to come out honestly say, no, I don't see any of them. I kind of want, now NXT is becoming a TV show, I kind of want them to stay their own shit.
Yeah.
I don't want this, I don't want this speculation of like, oh, who's going to get called up and who can be this. I want...
Just it to be its own standalone thing.
Because I always feel like NXT is like watching Game of Thrones.
Like, okay. Who's going to get
killed? Yeah, you get invested in like a character, and then they're dead.
Yeah.
NXT's the same, like, you get invested in these characters, and then
they get called up and they're
on Raw, and then they're. Then 6 months later, they're on a different company.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want that to happen.
No.
Maybe that's why I don't watch NXT in NXT UK, because I get scared.
That's
our lightning wrestlers.
Exactly.
That's what Flemmel literally said to me. He stopped watching NXT because he was sick of seeing all his favourite guys get called up and do nothing.
Yeah, that was it. I wouldn't mind if they got called up and went on to do something, but they just don't. So many of them get ruined that you think, why am I investing time watching them being awesome in NXT when I know they're just going to get dumped on?
There have been plenty that have succeeded, though. I mean...
Where?
What, like Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins?
Roman Reigns was never on NXT TV. He was in NXT when it was the developmental Florida Championship Wrestling. But yeah, okay, yeah. Seth Rollins was...
He beat someone in his opening match.
I'm talking when NXT kind of moved to Full Sail,
became its own big entity.
Exactly. Started doing weekly TV shows.
Owens is
on the network.
But he's not really
Nakamura.
No.
Okay.
Won a Royal Rumble, got jobbed out.
Exactly.
You can name any name, rest of your name.
We can shit on
it. Finn Balor won Universal Championship, got jobbed out.
What about Becky Lynch and Charlotte?
It took Becky Lynch
a long time.
Charlotte, fine. She went from being the best in NXT to being the best in Raw or SmackDown.
In fact, I think with women, because the women's division before...
Women's don't count, yeah.
NXT, that's where the women's division really did grow. Yeah. And then it was when Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley.
Yeah.
Well, Bayley didn't get called up straight away, did she?
No, she didn't. It was M3, and then she got called up about 6 months
that's
later.
That's it. But then, before that, it wasn't great. So it's tough with the NXT Women's Division because that became, as soon as they got called up, they became the.
But the Men's Division is it's an absolute who's who of shit shows.
Exactly.
Ricochet's not done bad since getting called up.
Yeah, but we've only just started. Mm-hmm. give him time and he'll be fucking back down jobbing out.
Corbin's done alright since he was called up, I'll give you that, but
Sami Zayn, you know, he's got a brilliant losing streak.
Okay,
let's put it this way, who's done better on Raw or SmackDown than they did in NXT? How many could you say there?
Bobby Roode.
NXT champion. Yeah. Now he's a joking.
Well, he's Dolph Ziggler, which
it's alright.
I'm maybe invested in it. Yeah. We'll see.
No, hasn't he won the tag belt and the US title since coming to...
No, he hasn't won the US title.
Bobby Roode.
No, he did, yeah, briefly.
Don't count.
No.
Tag team belts, especially the Raw tag team belts, don't count.
Yeah.
They're a joke. The US title, nearly a joke.
It's nearly a joke. Look, the fact is he's not been treated as well as he was when he was in NXT.
Or TNA.
Yeah, or TNA. He's not fulfilled his potential on the main roster.
No.
Joe, losing.
He's losing. What was that? You were Italian. I'm losing.
Is Joe not Italian?
Yeah, Italian Joe.
Isn't the main event sick?
No, but he's not, though. He's not winning. No. He's not actually... Wait, he won the US belt, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Great. Yeah. I could win that belt.
He won it.
A really good feud with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
He won the belt.
He didn't win.
He lost the belt. Then Rey Mysterio got injured and relinquished the belt back to Joe, and then Joe lost it again in his very next defence against Ricochet.
Literally, Seth Rollins is the only one who's gone from the NXT to being the main event and stayed there.
Yeah. Honestly.
Okay, you make a point.
It's something I feel really strongly about, and this is why.
This is why I never want to see Adam Cole on Raw or SmackDown.
Exactly.
They would absolutely kill him.
Yeah.
Whereas Undisputed Era are just amazing.
But we said this last time though about the whole call-ups and how they might work now.
Yeah,
I honestly don't. I think it has to go as its own brand now.
Yeah, yeah.
And just there's no call. You know, it could be drafts.
I was gonna say, do you reckon they'll go back to a draft?
Drafts could be
that
fine.
That would be fine. Yeah.
But
a three brand draft.
But call-ups, no.
No. The thing is with a draft as well is it's the way they do it. Like when the draft first happened, it was fantastic. You had your Raw GM and your SmackDown GM
picking
the top 10, and then they would put it on the website later that these have got drafted as well.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But then it got to the point when it was just
random.
It was random.
Yeah, like a random thing.
Yeah,
was on a computer, so probably not random. You know when John Cena gets drafted from Raw to SmackDown, and everyone goes crazy.
Yeah.
And then the next draft is John Cena's been drafted back to Raw. Literally, within 5 minutes, he went from Raw to SmackDown,
which
back to Raw.
Was it where Undertaker got picked and he just fucking walked out?
Yeah, I remember that because he got drafted to Raw because that's when SmackDown was at its peak.
Okay.
Yeah.
he's like, fuck this shit, just walks out.
I didn't know that.
You know what? I'd love to do an episode about the draft.
Okay.
Ooh,
we could talk about the best and worst and all that crap. That'd be interesting. So do a lot of research there, Flumrod.
Ah, thank you. You think I'm being sarcastic when I say thank you, but now I'm like, I give you something to research.
I'd love to talk about that.
Before we sign off, I think it's best that we check in on the old King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
Fuck it, go on then.
I'm pretty sure I'm out now.
I only vaguely know what's going on, so you two just give us a quick rundown of how the next round of matches has gone.
Have you got a list up, Liam?
If you give me a second, I will have.
Sorry,
yeah.
I dropped that on you.
I know, yeah. Out the blue.
You knew that we were talking about it.
Well, I was hoping you'd forget because
both of my guys are still in.
Are they?
Let's
no. Yeah, but yes,
Corbin and the lights are still in.
Well, this is what I was going to say though. Like, if you won, we have to review an NXT UK, but we've just done that, so actually we don't have to do it anymore.
So the brackets, we're down to the semi-finals of the King of the Ring 2019 tournament. Joe and Ricochet, who drew in the quarterfinals.
Oh yeah, that was a bit of bullshit.
I liked it.
Yeah, because that means it's a triple threat.
So it's a triple threat with Corbin, who beat Cedric Alexander on Raw. Mm-hmm. That's the semi-final triple threat. And on the SmackDown side, Elias beat Ali.
Yep.
And Chad Gable defeated Andrade.
Gable's this shining star. I love Gable.
Biggie Small.
Shorty G.
I love Gable. I'm loving Gable at the moment.
He's doing good.
People are, you know, comparing him to, you know, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit and all that crap because of how he works in the ring. I'm on board for him.
King Shorty G.
I think he's going to be the one that's going to be, he's surprised he's made it to the final. But he just comes up short in the final. So
comes up short.
Honestly. And that's where he becomes Shorty G.
But on SmackDown, the crowd were hugely behind him.
They were.
They were, you know, chanting Gable throughout the match.
Yeah.
You know, and him and Andrade put a bloody good match.
Oh, fantastic, wasn't it?
Really good.
I mean, Andrade's a fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And Zelina Vega as well. At the end of the match, when Gable got the win, she sold it massively, didn't she? Like,
it was great.
Surprise and how angry she... Fantastic, the whole spectacle of it.
I quit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because we've still got the wild card of Shane McMahon coming in and stealing it.
Yes.
Yeah, which, I think that'd be the worst thing
ever.
Remember,
if that happens, we have to review everything.
Lex Luger match.
It's not that. It's just, I think that it, in terms of a storyline, I'm sorry, Shane McMahon's had his little moment.
I'm on board.
Fuck off now.
I might be the minority on this, but I'm on board for Shane McMahon winning the King of the Ring.
You are in the minority.
And then it's just a repeat of how he won the bloody
World Cup.
Great. I don't care what anyone says.
It's just trolling people, isn't it? That's what it is. It is a troll.
It's a massive troll.
And people are loving it.
But it's just laughing in the face of the universe.
But is it making you hate Shane McMahon a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, then it's working, isn't it?
No, it just makes me hate WWE a lot.
Oh, well, then it's not working.
No. Well, anyway, I think Gable and Corbin final. That's what I can see. And I think Corbin's going to be Gable in the final.
See, yeah.
Now, that's
King
my...
King Corbin.
Do you not think it feels a bit weird, though, for Corbin to now have a triple threat? Do you think... I thought, because of that, he had a kid win it. Because why wouldn't he just put him against Joe or...
Ricochet.
But now it's a triple threat. Unless they're making it so Corbin
sneaks a win.
Sneaks a win.
Joe will lay out Ricochet.
And Corbin will come and chuck him out.
Yeah, just kick him in the back of the head.
I'm going to call it. Joe's going to Kikina clutch Ricochet to the point where he passes out. And then as Joe goes to get the cover, he gets deep sixed and then Corbin steals a win.
I can see Corbin winning it now.
Yeah.
To the outro.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but I think I don't want to talk about it now because it's... We've gone fucking too long.
Okay, alright, well...
You know, we're not going to talk about Chris Jericho and his little bit of bubbly.
Oh, no!
Oh, the fact that the AEW title got stolen.
Oh, little bit of bubbly.
What?
You not seen the memes?
You not no. seen the memes?
After AEW, he went backstage and was... drinking champagne. He's like, I'm going to have a little bit of bubbly. And now there's been memes galore.
Memes. The Spice Girls memes. There's been
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice memes. You know, Simpsons.
Ice bubbly. There's jokes about, you know, yeah. Well, you know, what's Fred Flintstone's best friend called? A little bit of rubbly.
Oh dear.
Little bit of bubbly.
A little bit of bubbly.
Get it on. Are you recording?
I'm recording.
Get
it on. Look at him right now.
There's a little guy in there. Can't even get proper olives, can you? What else we got? Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. He is bruised, he is bloody. Honestly, now search bubbly memes. There's fucking loads of them.
I will have a look in a bit.
Ice bubbly. Oh,
it just, the thing is, it comes from nowhere because he's talking quite normal. He's talking about olives. Yeah, there's a can't get good olives, and then he's like, ooh,
a little bit of bubbly,
a little bit of bubbly. He's so good, and honestly, it blew up literally straight away. And there's just memes after memes. That's all I've seen on wrestling pages for like a week.
A little bit of bubbly.
Oh dear.
Bubbly.
I think that's a good end to the podcast. It's always good when we end on a laugh.
We do like to end on a laugh.
Maybe we should do it more often. End on a meme. End on the what's the hot wrestling meme of the week? That'd be good.
Every podcast now we're gonna have a hot meme of the week,
which you can find on our Facebook page.
Oh,
terms of wrestling.
I have been posting wrestling memes. I don't know if you know it.
Yes.
I've been doing it.
You have, and I've been loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No boy toys.
Shawn Michaels sad face.
Fantastic. Oh, right, okay. So search Gems of Wrestling on Facebook to see what we're doing there.
Yeah.
If you're listening to us, tell everyone else that you can find us on
everything.
Every podcasting platform.
Spotify, SoundCloud.
Tune in. On your Alexa, on your Google
Home.
Morse code, carrier pigeons,
Stitcher, iTunes,
Telegrams,
a man showing it in the streets.
Teletext.
Teletext.
You can find us everywhere, literally everywhere. Yes. Look for Gems of Wrestling wherever you download podcasts.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
We're the best.
We're swelling.
Yeah. We're getting.
Oh, we're getting swole.
We're swole. We are swole.
Honestly, this time next year, we'll have at least 20 listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
about £10 between us.
Yes.
Enough for a bag of chips.
Enough for a little bit of bubbly.
A very cheap bubbly. Well,
oh, I've been Flemrold.
I've been No Gimmicks Needed.
I've been Rusty Pudding. Bubbly.
Right.
That's what I wanted.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. Want some bubbly? Look at this stuff, huh?